All of Barstool Sports will be relocating to Manhattan. We want to take it to the world. But we're trying to take this site and crank it the f*** up.
They've conquered the internet.
What an idiot.
And now Barstool takes over the SiriusXM airwaves.
There they go! What's going to happen?
Real.
The Finer Things Club. The Scumbag Club.
You are cute. Are you married?
I'm married to the game.
Unfiltered.
Stop sending the dick pics.
Controversial.
You're a bum.
I believe we're funnier, smarter, better, prettier than everybody else who is stealing our shtick on the internet.
By the common man. For the common man. It's Barstool Radio.
It's your boy KFC coming to you live from Barstool HQ here in Manhattan. It's me, Caleb, Coley, Dave. Another Monday morning here in the middle of the summer. We're going to talk about some sports. We're going to do some current events. We'll take some calls. The big announcement of the day, Michael Rappaport joining Barstool Sports. Paul Durant joining a super team. He is going to call into the show in the second hour, so tune in around 1 o'clock. He'll be
big hire, really excited.
In what capacity is he joining?
So he's going to be doing like rants, like daily rants, where he just like whatever crosses his mind he's really good at, and those will be sent to us whenever he appears on other, like if he's on, you know, Fox Sports or he's on a radio show, it'll be like Michael Rappaport from Barstool Sports.
Podcast. His is podcast. Under our network.
Yeah, which is good
he,
one.
He
I am Rappaport. He already has it.
Yeah. That's just like under our
things to us.
What's the format? Does he just go on rants on there too?
Him and his guy Gerald Moody. It's like his co-host. They just do like a two-man show. It's
cool.
It'll get much bigger because it'll be under our wing, and then obviously he'll be calling in. And he's still going to be based for the most part in L.A., but when he comes in, he'll join. So everything basically that is Mike Rappaport outside of his like acting, obviously his acting, he's still going to do that. But everything else will be us.
We found out today Michael Rappaport's producer's name is Miles Davis.
How weird is that?
I think we need to make a bigger deal out of that.
Just straight up, hey, I'm Miles Davis.
Yeah,
I like that.
You like
that? You like that.
You can't go through your life just being like, I'm Miles Davis.
Yo, no. What's this is maybe a dumb question, but like what is he? He's an actor, but he's like...
He's an actor,
how
producer.
How did he first get famous? Because I saw a picture with him.
Actor.
But then he's produced, like he produced the Tribe Called Quest documentary. He's like tied into a lot of filmmaking shit, I think.
Yeah.
Why? Were you saying you see a picture?
I'm just saying he's like, I feel like he's like tied in with like a lot of different groups. Like I feel like he's like involved with like rap.
Yeah, rap, with basketball, now the sports
you know what?
Thing.
Yeah,
he
I think the rap thing.
That's kind of why it works with us because that's what Barstool does. It's like you're right. Covering all that shit.
And he's a funny ass dude. Like really funny.
How
like,
old was he?
I don't know. We talked. Age is just a number around here. I don't know. He's
it really. That's actually dramatic, but it's actually very true. It's like,
yeah,
I mean, it could be Bob Fox, it could be Dave. It doesn't matter. We're all doing the same shit. The
it
same
really
place.
Is. It's like you're gonna be age like 15 to like 60, and as long as you're a funny fucker, we'll try to do it. I think it was the do the right thing. Like, kind of. That's like when he first burst on the scene, in my opinion, at least.
Yeah, I think that was like his big
Spike Lee. And
yeah,
you
that
start
was his
getting
big
in the
role.
Mix with like Tupac. Yeah, I saw that picture of him with like Kings and shit.
He's the greatest celebrity halftime All Star.
Oh, yeah.
Basketball performer of all time.
He won like the
he won the
MVP Jock,
like five
MVP.
Times.
Yeah, he was pre Kevin Hart era.
Yeah,
pre Nelly era.
I still take rap over those fucking guys, to be honest.
Yo, Kevin Hart in the All-Star game, there's no one better. I don't care what you say. You got to be a hater to say Kevin Hart's not good in the All-Star game.
I mean, I'm just saying, Rappaport, he fucking did his thing, man. He paved the way, okay? We're talking about like LeBron and Jordan and shit. He was the OG,
huge,
all right?
Huge Rappaport guy. Huge
so
Rappaport.
He'll be calling in 1 o'clock. You know what I like about him, too, the most is like he goes to war. Like he battles. Like he doesn't play nice. If people talk shit,
he
people
hates,
come at it, he comes.
Hates.
The Levitard guys.
Yeah, hates them.
Hates them.
What's that scissor necklace, Caleb?
Yeah, I was wearing this, I've been wearing it the entire day, but I knew for a fact I was going to the bathroom. I looked in the mirror, I was like, Dave's definitely going to ask for this on radio.
I'm like, I feel like you should have to be a barber to wear it, but I like it.
A seamstress?
Yeah.
No, you gotta. You
it's
gotta,
like for those
Edward Scissorhands.
Take a picture.
Yeah, it's a wild
scissors.
It's like a
what
little
is it?
Tiny you, pair of scissors.
What is it?
A tiny pair of scissors.
Why? Well, like, why?
Is
are you
there meaning behind it?
No, it's kind of just like a meaningless accessory.
kind of like it.
I could come up with one.
If I were to, yeah, you should. You should have a backstory. It's like, you know.
That's what I was singing in the bathroom. I was like, Dave's going to ask about this. What should I say?
I got to come up with something.
But then I forgot to think of something.
You're learning, though. You're learning. You got to know. Can't wear, you wear like a shirt that's like a funny color. Dave's going to bring it up. You wear some scissors around your neck.
He's got pink with the scissors. I like it. I mean, you're pulling it off, but it's like, I don't know.
Yeah, that's one of those things. Like if I came in wearing a pink shirt and scissors,
people are talking about my shorts.
Fuck out of here.
My shorts are like a topic of discussion.
Those are a little silly.
Silly.
Yeah, they look like almost like a tablecloth turned into shorts or something like that.
Yeah, I can't even see them, but
I mean, I thought they're pretty fucking basic.
They're definitely not
like
basic.
Swimming trunks.
It looks like swimming trunks.
They're like big time like floral print shorts, so they're not basic. They're not just like your standard shorts.
They're not like white shorts, if that's what we're saying. But you know, I didn't think we'd be talking about it on the radio.
I think you got to get like a necklace like that.
I don't know if I can do necklaces. It's not my jam.
Really?
Yeah, I can't pull it off.
You're kind of rich now. You should just do it. Get like a surf.
That's certainly not
one
like that. Doesn't scream rich to me. That's
no,
strange,
but yeah, I mean,
like,
you got
to
get.
I wore a pin the other day, like Lewis, because it got sent to me in the mail. It was hot. It was Lucky the leprechaun riding a horse.
Pins are a statement. You're making a statement when you put on a pin.
Yeah.
It's like, yo, look at me. I'm trying to look like fly as shit. So you better pull it off. You know what I mean?
I did
like, you're
pull
trying.
It off.
Yeah.
I pulled it off.
I'm sure you did. Yeah.
No, I did.
I'm sure you did. Yeah.
I absolutely
did. Definitely. All right, you know what that music means. It's Barstool Radio here. We got Rico Bosco on the line. Theme music is blasting. Rico, what do you got?
Good afternoon, everybody. How are you today? On a Monday afternoon on the 18th day of June, live from the Barstool Studios in New York, this is Barstool Radio, Sirius XFM, Rush 93, with Mr. Wham Bam of Instagram, the hard hitter on Twitter, Mr. Big Bat of Snapchat, Mick Foley. When it comes to having equity, yes, he should. Henry Lockwood, the hardest working man in Boston, the fastest wheels on the Tar Heels, the soul of the Chipotle Bowl, Caleb Dan Presley, the king of the rap battles, this side of Seattle. He's absurd with his words, causing earthquakes in the land of sea speaks. Mr. Adam Rone Ferrone, hosted by his father of two, sits on the curb in the suburbs, big fan of Entomans. He's unkind to the blind, gets no thrill from Advil, suffering lifelong Mets fans from Fordham University, the very pale, the very fancy Irish, Kevin Francis Clancy. And this man needs no introduction. The inventor of the internet, the savior of the stoolies, responsible for the demise of Clint Travis, Benjamin, Jenna Marbles, and Jamie O'Grady's career, building the pirate ship, paper by paper, slice by slice, brick by brick, horse by horse, salt of the earth, certified 6 feet tall, despite numerous fictions, evidence otherwise, my good friend, Davey Pageviews Portnoy. Joined by the lover of the oven, the boss to sauce, hello, goodbye, give me a large pie, the pizza maker Frankie Borelli, King Paul's on the other side of the glass. I am the number one caller on Collective Radio. Patron saint of the Pigskin, college football extraordinaire, pitbull of the internet, house music expert, DJ veteran, the people's champ, Rico Bosco. Hello, folks, how are we today?
What? That was quite something, Rico.
That was something, Rico. I feel like I need a nap after that. Jesus, you must be tired, bro. That was a performance.
All the time.
What? All energy all the time. It's true. What do you got, Rico? Is that the whole call? Was that the call? Was the call the intro and the outro?
This roast city of a black dress? Come on now. I got a lot of things.
All right.
Rappaport joining. Saw that, Dave. Already kicking off free agency. Good for you.
Thank you.
Good for you. Kevin, how was Father's Day?
It was Father's Day. Father's Day is a fucking bootleg holiday. It was nice. I got a little time alone to kick it. It was fine.
I saw your pal, Captain Cons, at the ballpark Saturday. We were suffering through another Mets loss.
Another one.
It's pretty bad. Pretty bad. Dave, glad you're back from L.A. All right, now on the East Coast. Are you going away this week? Because there's something that should be marked on your calendar on Thursday, my friend.
I don't know what you got on Thursday. I am going to Nantucket, I think, Friday for a couple days.
Nice. And that sounds like a nice bender for you. Thursday night, Pirates and Mermaids theme, 1801 Ocean Avenue.
Rico
wants us to rep the pirate ship as the pirate ship. He wants us to be there for Pirates Night at DJ's.
How far? I still don't understand. How far is DJ's from Manhattan?
With no traffic, you can get there in like an hour and 10.
Mm.
Yeah, very, very, very doable. Bonsolid is in. Fun Anthony is in. Tipple, everybody wants you there, and you guys are leaving them for dry left and right here. What? Explain to me what exactly the issue is. We already found out that the mystery back in Boston, you broke my heart. It's not Renee. So, I mean, we know you're not blowing it off of that. What's the deal here? Why are we not going to Belmont?
Well, Thursday, it's an hour away. Now, Rico, I have a question. As a professional radio guy, we just signed Mike Rapport, big free agent signing. He's on hold right now. He's on line two, but we have you, who's an all-star caller, on. How would you play this if you're me?
Say, hey, Mike, you're new. These are the guys we built it up with. Get in or get out. And also, this girl, I got something to say to this girl. I know you got Rappaport, and I'm not gonna FaceTime Rappaport.
Who are you talking to?
But tell this girl. No. Don't Francis to me. Tell this girl that there are 10 things that require no talent. Number one, being on time. Number two, work ethic, effort, body language, energy, attitude, passion, being coachable, doing extra, and being prepared. She did none of them. You did not deliver papers against homeless people every day in the Boston Square to have some
Boston
girl show up
Square
20 minutes late. I'll see you on Thursday at DJ's. Get this girl in line. Frankie, play me out.
There it is. The number one caller on radio, satellite, and terrestrial, Rico Bosco.
Radio 1801 Ocean Avenue, Summer 17, DJ Westport. Let's go, Beatological. Pirates and Mermaids, Thursday the 20th.
Pirates and Mermaids. How do you even dress like a mermaid? How do you even dress like a mermaid?
DJ's is getting so many free ads on our line every time Rico calls.
How do you dress as a mermaid as a girl?
Yeah, put on like a shell bikini top. And
oh,
a fucking
but the mermaid
shiny,
is all about
shiny.
The bottom part of it.
Yeah, but you can have that without having like a fucking
a lot of hopping
fins
around.
I was talking to a girl the other day, and she said there's evil mermaids. They're called like a scar or something. It's
siren?
Siren.
Siren.
Yeah.
Oh, damn.
You guys know what that is?
Yeah.
A siren's an evil mermaid?
Basically.
That's one take.
It's like a lady of the sea who's like there to fuck
the Odyssey.
You. Yeah. You ever read The Odyssey?
No, I don't.
Iliad or The Odyssey?
I don't have time. Well, people are reading. I'm building companies. Speaking of building companies, Mike Rappaport, newest employee, big announcement. What's going on, Mike?
Are you guys ready for me now?
Oh, you were on, you
I
were
knew
on,
that was gonna
you
happen.
Were on the phone. You were on the hold. I specifically asked. That guy's an all-star caller. I specifically said.
Excuse me. What does it take to be an all-star caller? Is there a list? Do you get voted in by the fans?
It's very difficult. You got to have that certain. He's got his own intro, outro music. He's been part of Barstool.
I mean, he wrote a goddamn script for his call today.
You weren't on the line. He had maybe a 7 to 9 minute intro. he literally spent all weekend writing his intro when he called.
All right, I'm just letting you know. I was over here. I got a lot of things done waiting on hold for.
It was 3 minutes. You were on hold. You were on hold for 3 minutes. And by the way, the question everyone wants to know right now that we've made this announcement is who hates LeBron more, you or I? I think it's me.
Well, we need to really have that discussion, and I think doing it face to face would be best. I showed up to Quicken Loans Arena with a broom, so your hate and your passion and disgust for LeBron is one thing. I put my life on the line.
Okay. Yeah, but you were up in the fancy section. No, you were up in the suites.
Look at the videotape. I was at the bottom all the way to the top, and I didn't tuck the broom away under my shirt after the game. After they beat them in game three, I'm in the streets. I'm walking with the people with the fucking broom. So, you know, I'm not going to say that if I beat you by a nose. But I feel like me showing up in Cleveland, in Quicken Loans, sweeping up outside of the arena, in front of police officers and all their fans, right now.
That's pretty good.
Right now, Mike wears the crown.
That's pretty good. Well, I did what, and it's a little different. But so I went to the Celtics, obviously, in my hometown. But I had a custom, you know that he owns this place called Blaze Pizza?
LeBron does?
Yeah. It's like a pizza
franchise.
It's
like
franchise.
A pizza chain, yeah.
Yeah.
I never heard of it.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Well, yeah. Well, I had a custom shirt.
Pizza,
it just said Blaze.
Is better than his sneakers? Because, you know, he's got, for the best player, he's got the worst sneakers.
Worst sneakers.
He's always had.
Yeah, he does.
Worst sneakers, worst pizza.
I wore I had a custom Blaze Pizza Stinks shirt that I wore, and I'm right in his face. I couldn't get him. Has he ever acknowledged you in any fashion?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I know LeBron. LeBron knows me. I haven't seen him since things turned for the worse.
And when was that? when did things
disease?
When did things turn for the worse? Like I never liked him, but the decision is when I went bananas on him and hated him. That's when he went from just somebody I didn't like to my arch nemesis.
Me too. That for me is when I didn't like it. And you know, obviously everybody sits here. People are like, well, he's the best. You know, it's like you don't have to state the obvious. Everybody knows he's good, and you know, it's like you could respect somebody and still hate them. You know, like I don't understand what people aren't understanding about that.
I agree.
Like,
I'm in that boat too. Yeah, I never. I mean, he's clearly a great basketball player. Only an absolute idiot would say otherwise.
Exactly. But you know, you brought up the decision, and I'm sort of floating from my own personal decision and the I Am Rapport Stereo podcast team to be joining Barstool. And we did it like gentlemen. You see, we came over to Barstool. We did an announcement. And there's no pep rally, unless you guys are going to throw a surprise one right now. There's no fireworks. There's no, you're not carting me out into the front of the building over there with my full fucking uniform on. And I'm not going to claim about, you know, 7, 8, 9 championships. We made the decision to come to Barstool, so we hit the ground running like a human being. Not like a big fucking production like Disneyland with you know, sparklers and fireworks blown off, you know, to stroke things off. And then give false promise about 7, 8, 9 championships.
And also, maybe most importantly, the former podcast, nobody was surprised. Like when LeBron did the decision, Cleveland didn't know what was happening. Cleveland found out during the decision.
Right.
That.
Right. Bad business.
Do you think, can we now be considered a super team with you joining us?
I've seen a lot of talk about that.
Yes. Yes. I think I'm proud to say that we've created the first podcasting, sports networking super team. And I think it's great. I think when we're done, much like LeBron, we will be leaving the podcasting world in shambles and playing catch up. I'm glad that we've created a super team, and I'm glad to be a part of it. I'm looking forward to a marriage made in heaven and hell.
I was very surprised in your intro that there's no Dan Le Batard shots though.
Oh well, that's easy. You know, you can't miss that fat fuck. So I mean, there'll be plenty of. You know what I realize is because, as far as in the sports world, Le Batard and LeBron, guys whose names start in L-E-B, I have an issue with. I realize, I don't know if there's just a coincidence, but is there anybody else that we could throw in there? Because I want to see if I don't like anybody else who has L-E-B as their first, their moniker.
When I was in L.A. this past weekend, Erica and I met with Mike and his team. He looked like are vampires who can't see the sun?
Correct.
Yes.
Yeah, he was like a vampire. Like we were sitting out. Yes. It was like 75 and sunny. He was like shielding himself. Like he's like, I can't go in the sun. We got to get away from the sun.
I had just come off the plane from the finals. I had my plunger with me, and my broom, and I was all banged up. I was banged up, so I couldn't. You know, I sleep with sunblock on. I don't know what the fuck you're trying to do, Dave. Because you're like real white too. I don't know what
kind
of
white.
Like,
I'm tan. I'm tan. I get glow. I don't want to look like you. It's like you look like you haven't seen the sun in 6 years, and you literally was a vampire. You couldn't even. You live in L.A. You're out there in Softville where it's nice every day, and you hide in. You were like you live in caves in the shadows.
Absolutely, I don't fuck with the sun. I cover myself up. I have hats and kits. and stuff I wear when I go out in the sun.
All right.
So wait, we got the podcast on Tuesdays and Fridays. You'll be doing the emergency podcast. You'll be doing video rants for us, making appearances on the rundown, the whole nine. He's part of the crew now.
So he's one of the great rant guys of all time. So anything that I don't know what he does in the summer, I don't know how he even goes outside, but anything that catches Mike Rapoport's attention, he's going to send it to us, and we're going to, like, whether it be the Porzingis draft or anything. We've seen him. He's gone viral a lot. When something catches his mind, he just rants about it.
Yeah, we're gonna. It's gonna be fantastic, man. I'm looking forward to it. I'm actually coming to New York Thursday, so maybe I could come and join you guys face to face. You know, I could fend off some of these callers and talk to them about, you know, just like compressing. You got to compress it. It's a call. It's not a fucking one act play.
That's Rico. Sounds like the director that Rico Bosco.
All right, Mike. Good stuff. You can find him on Twitter at Michael Rapoport, on Twitter at IamRapoport Podcast, and he's part of the team. So
yeah, it's great.
We'll head to break when we come back. More Barstool Radio on Rush 93.
Buying tickets can be complicated and confusing, but there is a simple way to buy, and it's with SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to get the tickets of your favorite team's games. Whether you're spending the day at the ballpark searching for a perfect gift or hunting down a last-minute deal, SeatGeek helps you find the best seats at the best prices, fully guaranteed. Nothing beats being there in person for the biggest plays, and SeatGeek will get you closer to the action for great value. I have the SeatGeek app on my phone. I use it all the time. I use it for concerts. I use it for sporting events. I'm trying to think the last time I used it. I think I got weekend tickets at Barclays through SeatGeek. So it's really good app, super easy, and best of all, our listeners get $10 off their first SeatGeek purchase. You just got to download the SeatGeek app and enter promo code PRES, P-R-E-S, today. That's promo code PRES, P-R-E-S, today, or PRESS if you're thinking about the first four letters of my last name, Caleb Presley, P-R-E-S, for $10 off your first SeatGeek purchase. SeatGeek.
Dan Gilbert, David Griffin wanted to trade Kevin Love, or did not want to make the trade.
I've heard two things. One, he wanted to move Kyrie.
Right.
Or he wanted to trade Kevin Love to Phoenix for the number four pick to use that to go get Paul George.
I got to be honest, guys, and I know you're like the NBA guy. There is nothing that puts me to sleep and I find more boring than this NBA, like, trade talk and deadline talk. And I don't like...
Because you're not a sports
guy. Clunny balls, huh? The fuck, man! Bringing a coffee, nice looking coffee
special.
For
you can't
Caleb.
Blame him for that. Can't blame him.
And
for
he
that.
Doesn't. You don't ask me if I want one.
That's on me.
Yeah,
I should have asked you if you wanted me.
Damn. But
I agree with you because I don't understand what you're talking about.
Yeah. I'm already asleep on enough with the NBA. I don't care.
Yeah, I mean, you're not a big sports guy anymore.
No,
Dan.
I am. I'm always. It's the same with hot stove baseball. Do not care. Don't care. Boring.
What do you want to talk about, Dave?
I mean, I don't even know. It's summer doldrums. I'm watching shit. I mean, we got this guy who died in North Korea. Everyone's making it sound like we should feel bad for that kid. Like, don't go to North Korea. How about that?
Yeah, I'm with you, but maybe you shouldn't.
Why?
Maybe you shouldn't knock the guy for getting murdered.
I'm not knocking him. I'm just not like, I'm not like, oh, North Korea's doing bad shit. They're murdering American tourists. The guy stole a propaganda poster in North Korea. Yeah, he killed you for it. Like, he machine gun fires his own employees. He's a maniac.
His whole family.
Yeah. What are you doing in North Korea? Why are you going to visit North Korea?
It's a big no from me on North Korea. You couldn't get me in North Korea
for
anything.
You got some tourist group being like, maybe we'll stop doing tours in North Korea. You think? Like, I mean, who's going to North Korea? What type of lunatic is like, I want to go to North Korea? You do, like... And now we're going to say, John McCain's like, I think Kim Song-un murdered this guy. Yeah, no shit. That's what the guy does.
It's because you have a brain.
Seriously.
It's similar to LeBron
like
in Cleveland.
This shouldn't be lead story on news things like American tourists murdered in North Korea. Yeah. Yeah, he did. He got fucking murdered.
Headline should be like, North Korea remains North Korea.
The headline should be, there's American tourist.
There is tourism in North Korea.
Dumb goes on vacation to North Korea. Steals propaganda poster. How stupid do you have to be? Like, honestly.
Yeah, it's like, man, that wasn't worth it at all.
No.
Well, the risk-reward on that one, not good. The best case scenario, you steal a poster. Worst case scenario, Kim Jong-sung kills you.
Yeah. Like, I mean, you're in North Korea and you're stealing, like, a propaganda poster? I'm reading the headline right now. Kim Jong-un, this is, like, front page Daily News. Kim Jong-un murdered Otto Warmbier. Furious John McCain says North Korea killed American student who was put in fatal coma while imprisoned for stealing a poster. Yeah, that's exactly what the fuck happened. Why are you mad about it?
Well, I don't think it's good when North Korea is murdering anybody of us.
But that's what they do.
It wasn't, but
I don't think anyone's saying they're shocked by that.
They didn't come to
America. Yeah.
Like, this guy went there and stole their stuff.
It's
like,
right.
And if you come to America and steal our stuff, like, you're going to end up, like, in jail because that's, like, what we do.
Right.
You're going to end up, like, extradited because that's what we do, or export, or whatever you want to say. But if you go there and you do it, like, what they do?
Like, what did you expect?
They put murder on the table long before you cross the border.
Like, he's murdered people for, like, stealing his haircut, hasn't he?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, and then he turned around and made it the official haircut in North Korea.
He murdered
him 1 second, then he made it you had to have it all of a sudden.
He murdered his brother for posting too much on Facebook.
Yeah, right. So this fucking guy, in RIP, yeah, he got murdered. I use it now that I wrote a blog. It's like these people, I'm going to swim, like, across the ocean, and then, like, you get tired and you may drown. Well, what did you think was going to happen?
We were talking to my man Rico a minute before the break. He's a big Francesa guy. Mike is in hot water for some racial slurs, I guess. He didn't even realize.
He played it off. I mean, not played it off, but he really didn't know that's the vibe.
Which is, my father says Oriental all the time and doesn't realize it. I'm like, you can't say that anymore. He's like, why? I'm like, it's just not.
Yeah. Oh, my dad would do that too.
Yeah. My dad always says, Western is Occidental and Eastern is Oriental. I'm just talking about geography. I'm like, well, when you say that, everyone thinks you're racist. Play the clip, Frankie.
Hey, Mike, how are you?
Good, what's happening?
So the Supreme Court just ruled that potentially offensive names could be trademarked.
Correct. It has to do with a case in Portland of a musical group named Slant that they won the case. So they are an Oriental group that wanted to have the name Slant.
You can't say that anymore, but it's not like he was saying it derogatory. It's not like he was trashing Asian people. He just, in his mind, in his world, that's the word you use. I think you were the one saying it when you're 60 plus. It's like you're just grandfathered.
Grandfathered into that, yeah. Because I don't think any 60 plus like Asian person is going to be offended. I don't want to speak for them, but I just don't think they would.
Yeah, to me, that's one of those. How offensive is it, really?
Also, not to switch subjects, but a big conversation that's erupted here in the last 5 minutes is we got a Satanist in the office. Speaking of, you know, Oriental Satanists, they're all kind of, you got people all over the map.
Now that was offensive.
No, we're talking about groups of people.
Right.
Satanists.
Yeah, so yeah, Glennie and Asa interviewing a Satanist.
I wasn't
right
connecting
now.
Those two.
It sounded like it for a second.
In hindsight, if I was just like trying to segue and didn't like roll that great.
Right.
But like we're talking to one group, now we're moving to another, Satanists.
Okay.
So we have a Satanist that, in the other group that is causing quite the stir.
That's what Satanists
also
do.
Also a fetish porn director.
There you go. Well, okay.
Satan's been mixing it up for years.
So is this guy then just trying to use Satan to promote his porn business?
Like, if you're going to be a Satanist, I want you to be a true Satanist. I don't
pentagram
want
to, carved into your forehead.
No doubt. Yeah, I want
I don't know,
you to.
But all I know is Glennie is currently interviewing him and texting me about how shook he is, and he can't get words out.
What is it? What is the podcast, Asa? What is it?
Asa and Glennie. It's called Super Curious. It's just like weird topics that they're curious about.
When did that start?
They're on like episode 4 or 5, I believe.
And it's been like, where do they publish it?
How do you not know
SoundCloud.
About this?
Because no one tells me shit.
But I thought that's like what?
You're the director of content.
Yeah, no one told me. If it's SoundCloud is like a private universe that you can do with. It's like Gay Pat when he went and did his Puerto Rican Day Parade. And it's on like Facebook and I found out about it on Facebook. It's like, who put this up? It wasn't good. Like, why is it up? Like, Gay Pat, well, go knock yourself out and do all these things. But like, let's make it be good.
Put it on
before
SoundCloud.
Put it on SoundCloud in person. Like,
well, yeah.
Gay Pat, who approved this? He's like, oh, me, like Sean. And an intern. I'm like,
well,
what makes
but,
you guys?
But it's
think?
A fine line though, because we always tell people to just take shit and run with it.
You should, and make it, and then be like, is it doesn't mean like
it gets
makes,
posted?
Correct.
Yeah, you need to get your reps in. We'll watch
Correct.
It. We'll get make
right.
it better
because it wasn't
we'll
good. I don't want up. Like people being oh, what is this Barstool? They just make average gay gay Pat makes average Puerto Rican Day parade videos. That's not
right.
what we do.
Right.
The NBA finals are over, but the MLB is in full swing. So make sure you head over to BetDSI for all your day, night, or weekend betting needs. BetDSI has over 20 years in business. It's a top-rated business on sportsbook review sites. Great mobile product, easy to use from anywhere, live in-game wagering, you name it, you got it here. It's great customer service, 24/7, 365, has the reputation you want, and also free $25 to try the service just for registering. That's 200% bonus on your first deposit with Barstool 200. That's a code now, Barstool 200. Any bets that I like? I'll tell you about a bet that I like. Bet on yourself. Bet on yourself, and use if you think you have a good bet, you probably do. Bet on yourself. BetDSI. That's the place to do it. Barstool 200.
Shit, putting us to sleep, Frankie, with this music.
Tennessee Whiskey.
It's a
great fucking song.
It's a good song.
This is for Pat McAfee.
Is that
Pat McAfee is
that in a
studio.
McAfee
He's
song?
The most American man I know. This song is for him.
This isn't my favorite song, but it's a good. I mean, let's not get crazy. It's a good song.
It's a good song.
Tennessee Whiskey.
This is, you're talking
Too
to Club
slow.
Dave.
He wants the Rico Bosco music.
Time
out. No, I like a lot of shit like that, but I like Jolene. I was just listening 5 seconds ago. I love Jolene. This was too slow. So we got Pat McAfee in Studio A. And we get the Satanist in Studio B.
Guy looks like a magician.
He does.
He came in wearing a bright green glittery suit. I thought he was an illusionist.
Wait, was it? Now we're hearing multiple things. Was it green or was
it's
it?
It's like a teal. I said teal. I don't know. It's one of those turquoisey green. Teal greenish
Is he
colors.
White guy, black guy?
White guy, but he calls himself the Black Pope.
The Black Pope. He's got a goatee.
I don't think black
honestly,
people are
if
Satanists.
You think of a movie when
Never
someone
seen a black Satanist.
No, they're pretty true to not being Satanist.
Very white thing to do.
Yeah, being a Satanist is like white boy problems. Yeah.
When you're
it's a white boy thing.
You're just bored.
Yeah, it's like you have everything else in your life. You're like, I hate the world. I'm all angsty. I'm going to be a fucking
you've
devil.
You've done like five things. You've been like a chess guy. You've been like a bunch of weird. And then you're like Satan.
I feel like it goes like Juggalo into Satanist.
Juggling.
That's
oh,
the first
definitely
juggling.
The most hipster thing to do, be a Satanist.
Yes.
Yeah,
yep.
absolutely.
Yeah.
Super white.
And this is not the end of the road either. Like, this is not the last stop.
What's after Satanist? What do you think comes next? Heroin? Just straight heroin?
Move to Afghanistan for heroin?
I don't know if a Satanist is a drug guy. I don't think he could commit like heroin.
You don't think the Satanist is a drug guy?
Like heroin drug.
Can I ask
that's a
He's
commitment.
Also like a what kind of fetish, Frankie? Some sort of
he's
porn,
a porn
fetish.
Guy.
He's a fetish director.
Is Rico Bosco still here?
He's still on the line. He said he
Rico.
He texted me. You gotta put him did you put him on?
He's
he said, tell Frank I'm still on mute
Rico,
after like 10
Rico,
minutes.
Are you here?
Yeah, what kind of shit is this? Fuck, Frankie Irish goodbyes me.
This kid was on hold for like 15 minutes.
This is Rico's playing music.
Oh, okay, a little Tennessee whiskey.
He's the self.
Hold on. I just want to let you guys know that commercial break was brought to you by Chatham Squire, 487 Main Street, Chatham, Cape Cod. Fine food and spirits since 1968. Ask for my friend Dylan behind the bar, okay? I did want to let you guys know that.
Is that why you had to stay on the, Rico, is that why you stayed on the line? Because
you promised
the second ad.
You promised an ad. You had to get it on.
Yeah. No, that's it. Now we got fucking Pat McAfee who's going to go kick field goals. I guess I'm fucking demoted. Frankie, at least play the song so everybody can sing along on the way out, all right, pal?
What's the song?
This is
some fucking techno jam.
Thunderpuss remix.
My Love Is Your Love Thunderpuss remix?
This is
sing it, everybody. My love is your love.
So Rico has play in music and play out music, not the same music.
Dictates to me what he wants to play.
Let's go. Rest in peace, Whitney Houston. Screw Bobby Brown. Let's go.
He said DJ Pitbull.
Yeah, Rico, I don't like that. I think your play in music has to be the same as your play out music.
It's almost like bat music.
Time,
it's got
to
be the same.
Whitney Houston, best female artist of all time.
He's a huge Whitney guy. He's always been a huge Whitney Houston
I'm not
going
to argue that. Whitney's up there.
Just so I know.
Do you like the Pointer Sisters, Rico?
I'm not a big fan.
I'll talk to you later, Rico, on that note. How do you not like the Pointer Sisters? I'm so excited.
I'm very interested in this Rico.
Oh, Rico is from outer space.
He would be better at content than all of us combined, but he all of a sudden will have this like attack, this like fear of being in the public eye.
Rico.
He doesn't want his real name out there, doesn't want his face out there, doesn't want his family out there. Very strange.
He doesn't like insults either.
Yeah, he has very thin skin.
So
very
he sells drugs.
No, he's a public servant, I think, of some degree.
Drugs.
No, he's not a drug guy. By the way, if you keep saying Rico Bosco does drugs, you're going to be on the bad list of Rico Bosco.
I don't know you.
That's... And trust me, that is a list
you don't want to be on.
You do not want to be on.
I love Rico. I love Rico. But a guy who doesn't want to be in public, doesn't want to be seen.
But to the point that like his somebody here is his cousin, and he was like, don't tell him that you're Rico Bosco's cousin. It's like, nobody fucking cares, bro.
I love that guy.
He's electric. One in a million. He a couple things to say on his good side. He absolutely hates Doug Gottlieb because Doug Gottlieb stole a credit card in college of some person.
Tweeted him every single day for like two straight years. Like, hey, remember that time you were a fucking thief?
I respect that move.
Yep.
Everything that Rico does, I think I'm starting to really like more.
Hates Clay Travis.
Hates him. Clay.
I like what Rico's doing even more.
Yep. So he's our like junkyard dog. He always says like he's always like, let me know, like sick me on him. I'll go get him. Like say the word and I'll go get Clay Travis right now.
We have that video Millmore made of him morphing into a junkyard dog. Like I have him on a leash and he's like leading me on a skateboard.
Speaking of, I'm happy I inherited that hatred.
Oh, you're
Clay Travis.
I didn't know that you hated him so much.
I don't, but
now
everybody
he does.
I am like friends with and cordial with hates him. So I'm like, turns out I hate him.
He's
I like that attitude.
Yeah,
Pat.
I'm 100%. Yeah, I'm all in.
Yeah, he's hated pretty well hated. PMT guys don't hate him. I hate him pretty hardcore.
He's just Florio. Phony. He's very phony.
Florio hates him too.
Mike Florio.
Oh, I knew that actually. Yeah, because when I was ripping him, Florio's like, keep ripping him. I don't like.
Well, the people who hate us are really gonna hate Clay because a lot of the shit that we get like pegged for, I think Clay does on purpose. You know what I mean?
He doesn't get into the girl side of it, but
it's not the misogyny.
He's a race
baiter.
It's
mostly a racial thing, but it's just
smart. I actually don't think he is racist at all. He just
knows
how to play the cards and make it seem.
I think when you play that card that much, though, there's some level of you that doesn't give a fuck about those people.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
It's a good point.
What do you mean?
Like, I don't think he genuinely like may hate black people or a certain race, but if you're this cavalier,
you use them for clicks that much, then
right?
You might not care about him.
Exactly. It's like I don't think he wants to go burn crosses, but I think if he's going to be making constant jokes like this, it's like you don't really.
He's
kind of
like Hugo Boss,
right?
Hugo Boss.
Dave
really
always defends Hugo.
No, I don't. I don't defend Hugo Boss, but Hugo Boss, it cut me fucking so deep. It cut me so deep when I found out Hugo Boss like
he's a Nazi.
Murdered Jews and shit and built his entire company.
What?
Dave loves Hugo Boss suits, but he's a
big
time Nazi.
Clothing. I had all my underwear as Hugo Boss, and then someone's like, "Yo, Prez, aren't you Jewish?" He's like, "Yeah." It's like you know he like made the fucking
uniform.
Like the uniforms for the SS and shit.
No,
he
Hugo
was
Boss.
He was convicted as a war criminal.
Was he convicted?
Yeah. He's a goddamn war criminal.
So he's still selling shit
right
now, though.
And I'm buying it. And I'm buying it. Like, my whole wardrobe was built on him, like, murdering my great-grandparents.
That almost just goes to show, like, just win, baby. You make fire clothes, nobody cares.
This guy.
Hey, I look good in this suit. That's all that matters.
His Wikipedia page is as bad and as gruesome. I think Roan at one
Hugo
point.
Hugo Bosses?
Yeah.
It's like Hitler, Heimlich, and that dude.
Roan, our guy Roan, is like, hey, I just met the CEO in California of Hugo Boss. I told him, like, you're a big guy, wants to meet and give you free shit. I'm like, I wish I could do it. I can't.
I'm a Jew.
Yeah. It's like this guy, if I was alive during a time, he would have murdered me in a second and then put me in ugly clothes.
And he would have dressed
just
the guy killing
me.
You.
Yes.
Yeah, he would have wanted that guy to look good.
He literally dressed like all like the Third Reich, like the special troops.
Yeah, he
it's
wanted
crazy.
Them to look good while killing
and, like,
your
it,
people.
We exaggerate, but he did that. Like it's no one denies it.
So Hugo, if you want to send me some clothes,
yeah,
I'll take that meeting.
You're not Jewish, right?
No, I'll head right over.
Yeah,
same thing. Volkswagen, same wagon.
Yeah, that's right.
Volkswagen too.
Oh yeah, they were like they were making the wagons for
that.
But
the honestly, that's how you get rich. Everyone knows you get rich in wartime,
guys. Those bug commercials are like, don't worry,
I know.
Be
Nazi.
Right. Oh, Nazi. That's where they had a little lyric change for America.
Misinterpreted, yeah, a little lost in the translation.
I have never read anything of Clay Travis's. I have no idea who he is. Didn't even know he existed until everybody I work with.
He used to be fine.
Handsome.
He used to just like write college football, and it was good, and then he realized
then
that, that saying inflammatory shit on the internet pays the bills, so he does it all the time. I don't even mind, but then you have to own up to that. I'm just here to talk that shit.
He says inflammatory shit, and he's hired by Fox Sports?
Yeah. Right? Or he has like a...
Like Donald Trump said, build a wall, and they pulled all of his clothes out of like stores. Hugo Boss just murdered, and he's in every store.
Hugo Boss is...
And Clay Travis says inflammatory shit, you know, fuck. That's just so weird.
Yeah. Hugo Boss is like a Ray Lewis type. Like, his product is so good, you have to kind of...
Yeah,
it.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying, man. You make those suits. It doesn't matter, bro.
You have to kind of forget.
Like, it's like, dude, this guy's pretty good. This guy's pretty good. Say what you want about him.
I got to be honest. It's just one of those things when I found it, I wish I didn't know. It's like... Yeah.
Ignorance is bliss.
It's put me in like a mental quagmire because...
You need that Men in Black, erase that from your brain.
I wish I didn't know.
Have you spent a dollar on Hugo Boss since finding that out?
Oh, yeah.
No, I haven't.
Come
not
on.
Since.
Nothing?
Not
I respect
since.
That so much.
Not since.
Have you found a replacement?
I haven't. I still wear the underwear that I had, but I haven't.
Oh. Still marketing.
Well,
I mean, the closest
very
to your,
few
to
people
your manhood,
to
too, is Hugo just wrapped around your nuts. That ain't right. That sucks.
Hugo Boss has your nuts in a vice grip.
Does
you got Nazi
he'd
underwear
like,
on?
Literally
dude.
Chop my dick off.
Yeah,
they
would
probably
enjoy
did
it.
That.
Yeah,
right.
And you're just willingly wrapping your dick.
I'll go to his fucking thing right now, and I'll read it, and it'll shock people.
I did not know this. As a Caucasian, I had no idea that.
Have you guys ever seen the Russell Brand clip when he accepts the Man of the Year award at the Hugo Boss event?
No,
he just trashes Hugo Boss. They kick him off the stage,
or just because he?
No, he just like this guy's a Nazi, and they kick him off stage.
I mean, he is.
Is he?
How is the company still going in the world we live in? How
is
the company still going?
This is literally Hugo Boss.
He makes fire suits.
Is a German luxury fashion house founded in 1924 by Hugo Boss, headquartered in Germany, originally focused on uniforms. It was a supplier for Nazi party organizations. After the war, and after the founder's death. Let's see what that was pretty that I can live with actually.
Yeah, just if you just stop there, you can buy the suits. But it's when you go to like paragraph 2 and 3 that you're fucked.
That's where they'll get you.
By the third quarter of 1930. Wait, this is not good. Now it starts getting bad. The same year, he became a member of the Nazi Party, sponsoring member of the SS. He also joined German labor.
He's giving him for free suits.
Yeah, the right.
Don't worry, Adolf. I'll donate the suits.
I got you. I'll hook you up.
Wow. By the third quarter of 1932, the all-black SS uniform was designed by SS members. The Hugo Boss company.
I had no idea that the Nazis looked good.
One
yeah,
they
of the
were
companies
fly.
That
I had no
produced
idea.
These uniforms for the SS during the Second World War. Hugo Boss employed 140 forced laborers, majority of them women. 40 French prisoners of war worked for the company in 1940.
Ugh, this guy, you don't read this in your history.
Yeah, for real. People don't let you know that one.
Because of his early Nazi Party membership, his financial support of the SS, and the uniforms delivered to the Nazi Party, Boss was considered both an activist and supporter and beneficiary of National Socialism in 1946. A judgment, he was stripped of his voting rights, capacity to run a business, and fined a very heavy penalty. However, Boss appealed, eventually classified as a follower.
Quick question.
Nazi guy.
So
big
when
Nazi.
You sponsor something... You're like saying, I have faith in this one.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, when people sponsor Barstool, they're like, we have faith in Barstool.
It's like a bookie. Do you vouch for this guy?
So exactly. So, this Hugo bet on Adolf.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And he lost, and he's still winning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm sure whoever runs it now, I'm sure, is like, well, that, you know, we don't do that anymore. But it's like your whole company was built off that shit.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Name change.
Well, yeah.
We got a question for Barstool Heartland. Fig question for Barstool Heartland. Fig.
I like that.
Yeah, not really much of a question, but I guess it is a question. Because, listen, Pat, how is Jeb Vibbert not second in command to Barstool Heartland? That guy is a content machine.
I agree, and this is probably
20-something, mid-20s. He looks like he's 12, and he's killing it.
This sounds like one of Jeff Vibbert's friends. But
are you Fig? Are you?
Thanks for the call, Jeff.
Declare yourself Fig. Are you, as I said, declare yourself. I simultaneously hung up.
Hugo Boss got you off
bad
rattled
radio.
Right now.
Bad radio. My bad.
Do you know
bad.
Who Jeff Vibbert is? That's a guy we party with in New York. He looks exactly like Rachel.
Where's Jeff from?
Indiana.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, yeah. I know who he is.
He does look. Is that called from Indiana?
No, Hackensack, New Jersey.
Ah. Oh.
That means you're reaching new frontiers, bro.
That's nice.
I've seen a lot of positive hype about him, though.
Ah, he's pretty ridiculous. I mean, he looks like he's 12 and he talks like
he's... He's the ref guy, too, right?
No, that was Austin Taylor's his
Who's
name.
That guy?
So he's an intern. He's just one of our interns. He used to be a Colts ball boy. Big dick syndrome is the reason why he's
You bad. Were going, by the way, speaking of the Colts, I see you're all over the place for trashing Grigson.
Yeah, I feel pretty good about it.
Yeah, I mean, I know he's not your favorite guy.
Worst guy.
Yeah.
I tried to trade him to Canada. That was Mike Florio's. That was Mike Florio's fault. He sends me a text before going on Pro Football Talk and says, think of your dream trade. And I was like, dream trade? He's like, yeah, we're going to talk about it on the show today. I'm like, fucking awesome. Let's get Ryan Grigson out of America. That is a dream trade of mine.
What is he doing now? What's Grigson even
He got
doing?
Hired by the Browns. The Browns hired him.
To do what?
Scout.
It's a pretty big downgrade, though.
Yeah.
From GM. Yeah, but he's still getting GM money for like the next 4 years.
From the Colts.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's so always the best.
It is. Get a big deal, get fired.
Yep.
Then you just golf.
Yep.
You're a professional golfer all
I'm trying to get fired right now. Just trying to keep cashing those checks.
Hey, go buy some Hugo Boss.
I mean, Hugo Boss thinks it's
We're going to break. When we come back, we'll take your calls for Pat McAfee, 646-627-8450. Heartland is in the building. We'll be back. Barstool Radio, Rush 93.
Speaking of that, this person,
good run.
Henry, looks like the title of this call says McAfee Regrets. Henry, what do you got?
I just wanted to, by the way, I just bumped into Big Cat on the Upper East Side wandering around. I don't know what he was doing.
Cool story. But,
tell it again.
Sick, bro.
What
happened?
Tell it again.
I was walking home and I just bumped into Big Cat.
Wow. Upper, where at?
77th Street.
Was it PFT or was it Big Cat?
Big Cat.
Oh. What a story.
Okay.
Yeah. But my question was to McAfee, do you have any regrets after retiring from the NFL? Anything that you wish you had done?
I wish I would have possibly – is that the Satanist screaming out there?
Yeah, Satanist is coming in. So we're going to have the Satanist then Pat
McAfee. No regrets. I'm getting to meet the Black Pope right now.
The Black Pope's in the house.
The Satanist. My original thought on the Satanist, no disrespect, you need a better Satanist.
That is turquoise, isn't it?
That looks like it's from Macy's.
I look fabulous in this.
Is that Hugo Boss? That's Hugo Boss.
That looks like a discount rack Satanist suit.
I looked in a shirt. What are you doing?
What?
Is that Hugo Boss? Is that a Hugo Boss?
No.
You should think about it.
That's very on brand for you.
Yeah,
if it was Hugo Boss.
Hugo Boss fan, are you?
I think the thought running through our heads is I think you are a Satanist for show.
Whoa.
Okay.
Those are heavy words.
You're entitled to that opinion?
Yeah, I think what
do not mess.
What
Caleb, you want this?
What does the Satanist life entail?
Satan is also a porn director, correct?
That is correct, yes.
I feel like you're parlaying the Satanist thing into the world of porn.
Okay. No, I really don't do that. We really don't incorporate Satanism into our films.
No?
No. Well, let's start with this. Before we get into any of this, do you folks know what Satanism is?
I can't wait to hear it.
Belief in Satan?
No.
That's misleading, then.
No.
Yeah, then you need a new name for your
what is
setup
Satanism?
Here.
Satanism is the world's first carnal religion. We are a religion of the flesh. We are a religion of this world. This world is the only world that there is. There is no God.
So why isn't it this world?
This world is the only life that there is. So enjoy it while you're here, because once it's over, it's over.
Okay, so you're saying just enjoy yourself because it doesn't matter what you do.
So you don't believe in
it? Yeah, hey,
that's an
atheist.
Don't believe in the devil.
Satanists are
atheists, except you're not an alien guy.
Satanists are very much atheists. Yes.
What?
So what's the difference?
Wouldn't Satanists imply something to do with the belief in Satan?
No, it would not.
That's misleading.
Then you can blame the Christians. Satan.
Hey, you watch your mouth.
Hey, I'll tell you what. There's at least one guy in here that blames the Christians for a lot.
Wait a minute.
You guys are on the same page.
We're asking questions. I'll let him finish. What is the difference between Satan and atheism?
Well, let's start with the actual definition of the word Satan. Satan, as a word, is a word that Christians appropriated from the Jews.
Just like everything else.
Exactly. The actual literal translation in Hebrew means the adversary, one that stands in opposition. And that's exactly what we are. We stand in opposition to any and all spirituality because we think it's all bullshit.
Okay.
All right.
I can live with that.
I thought this was more, you know, like, you know, how pentagrams in your forehead type
of
Satan shit.
You're confusing us with devil worship. See, here's the thing.
Right.
Devil worshippers are actually Christians. They're just taking the Christian model and they're just
like
worshiping.
Very interesting. I take
back
what you're
just about Jewish, pal.
And they're just worshiping
like
the bad
Jew.
Guy in that model.
You're an atheist Jew.
We take that model and throw it away because it's utterly worthless.
So, all right. I mean,
we're all Satanists, I think, right?
What we've come to, Satanists is just atheists in a fancy suit. That's essentially
marketing.
The flashy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We like to think of ourselves as atheists.
We
worship ourselves. We view ourselves as
David,
our own God.
Definitely.
Dave, you're an atheist.
David's definitely a Satanist, for
I
sure.
I can't wait for the Twitter bio to change.
I love it.
Still president.
He could be the next Black
Pope. No, but I Barstool, and we're the type of people who I could easily say, like, I'm a Satanist, and then I'd be associated with devil worshiping. I mean, we did to this guy.
Yeah.
When he was in the other room,
but
we're like, he's crazy.
It kind of played. It was, we were all interested and wanted to know about it because.
You're
marketing.
I'm in here.
You run into a lot of slam doors, though, with the Satanist title.
You'd think so.
Yeah, you run into a lot of shut doors.
Not really.
Okay.
No. I'm just being honest. And I'm just being honest. I mean, I'd certainly tell you if I did.
How's the porn business?
The porn business is fun. I love making porn. It's probably one of the greatest things ever.
I would agree with that, too. We're on the same page, brother.
Do I got good thighs for porn or no?
All right, let me get a good look
at you.
They're
a little thick.
Thanks, bud.
All right.
A little thick.
Actually, you got the cheat. Yeah, I'm thinking, like, bear porn would be good for you.
Bear. Like bear. Me fucking a bear?
No. Like two hairy dudes.
Oh.
Together, because you've got that look. You've got that look that gay porn fans are into.
Oh, nice.
It's,
Pat
McAfee,
you dog.
And, dude, there's cash.
You dog.
You could make some bank, dude.
I've turned down a lot of money before, and I'm all about re-earning it.
Imagine McAfee and gay porn.
Tell you what, we'll get the clicks. Put it on BarstoolSports.com.
Yeah. I want to Gay Pat. Think you'd
Gay Pat
that?
And Gay Pat. We'd have that. You guys could do porn together.
Oh my
you
God.
Guys just conceptualized
two pats in a sack.
We actually
two
have
pats
yeah,
two
we
pats
have
in a sack.
An
two pats, one dick. Two dicks, one pat. Two pats, one atheist. Two, Satanism.
We actually have. You knew that, right?
I'm taking
we
my 10% for helping
Pat
you guys out with this.
Gay.
At Barstool Pat. Yeah.
Yeah. Gay Pat.
Yeah. At Barstool Pat.
Gay Pat.
Cease and desist.
What do you mean at Pat?
At
well,
Barstool
he's Barstool Pat. I think
you
Pat
are.
No. Gay Pat is at Barstool Pat. Pat McAfee's mad because I think he thinks he's Barstool
no,
Pat.
No, it was only like a 2-day thing.
Now
only
what
like
is
a 2-day
it?
Thing.
Now
I'm a big fan of his now.
You guys got your patch straight now?
Oh, he's still got at Barstool Pat. Yeah. Who gives these. I will say this about Barstool Pat. Nobody acts like they've been here for 10 years longer than Barstool.
I don't hate that, though.
He tried to get a full time job without telling me. I had to be like, dude,
he was ready to hire. He was about to quit his job. I said, have you talked to Dave? He was like, no. And I was like, I think you should talk to Dave before you quit your job.
It's like, by the way, you're not hired, Pat. Like, you're not even close to hired. But he, apparently, I didn't even know he was Barstool Pat on Twitter.
Yeah.
He is.
I started getting tweets about
like, nope.
At Barstool
he got
Pat.
Cucked. He got cucked by a gay guy. It happens.
No, that's on me. I missed the, he was like a couple months after me. I missed the boat there.
Right,
no,
well,
I will not miss
break.
The boat on atheism.
When we come, we're not, I don't think everyone's on board with this boat already.
Atheism.
We're going to break. When we come back, we'll keep it rolling here. What a weird show. Barstool Radio on Rush 93.
Racism. Racism. Most of all, we are world ourselves. God, show me the way because the devil's trying to break me down.
It's a Wednesday. We got our usual cast of characters. It's me. It's Coley. It's Caleb. It's Dave Portnoy, but we are joined by arguably the most important guest we've ever had here on Barstool Radio in studio. He is the premier recurring guest on Pardon My Take.
Are you the premier? You gotta get that microphone closer to your mouth.
So if you can't tell by now, it's Mike Portnoy Esquire.
I'm here.
I would say so. I think he is the preeminent PMT guest. Now we know he's ahead of Rappaport because
yeah,
that's what started.
Rappaport wasn't
that's what started
that.
The whole beef.
I think Rappaport's maybe here tomorrow. Actually,
I think that if Mike Portnoy asked the award-winning listeners of Pardon My Take to like go murder somebody, he would do it. They would do it. I think that he's got that kind of clout with the PMT listeners.
I could be like Trump, who said he could walk out on the street, and when he was running, I think it was when he was still running, and say that he could fire a gun. And nobody would do it, you know, in the middle of the street, nothing would happen.
I honestly think he could do that.
Did I feel that way about myself? No, I do not feel that way about myself.
If it was within just Pardon My Take people, he can do literally whatever he wants. Got that.
I don't think my
clout.
Son would agree with that, but I'm not letting all this newfound publicity go to my head. But maybe I'm a little better than I thought I was.
Well, you
which is not high praise, but
when you called in to flex your muscles on Mike Rappaport, I thought
be on with him. As I've said to you several times, I enjoy him as an actor.
I know, I told him that you were a big fan.
But boy, I didn't expect him to
I don't think it was really a knock on you. I think it was more that he wanted his own shine on the Mount Rushmore.
That, by definition, puts me down.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, you can't put yourself up without putting someone else down. If I'm on top and he's trying to get there, by definition, he's shooting after me. I thought I had a pretty good comeback to that, too.
No, I
What was your comeback?
My comeback was that he's very good at reading lines, but what happens when he's not reading lines?
Oh, I think he's pretty good. I mean, pretty good at not reading lines as well.
Well, that's what I said. I'm just telling you what I said. I'm just telling you what I said, and I'm sticking to it.
Frankie, are the phone lines working?
Well, yeah.
646-627-8450 if you want to call us up.
Yeah, I put it in. I said, Dad, you're on the phone. Nobody's calling to talk to you, so maybe not as popular.
That's not a good sign.
Not as popular
as we
thought.
Well, give it a minute. I mean, we literally just started a minute ago.
Yeah, but there's generally phones.
Do we have a lot of PMC crossover?
I actually think the phone lines are broken.
Any other company I would say that's stupid, but here you never know.
No, I mean, we always, when I tweet out the phone number, we get lit up with calls. There's nothing. So
yeah, most of the time, though, it's me.
What's
calling
that?
I do not think
I'm here.
You don't think the lines are broken? No, I'd almost guarantee they're broken.
how are we gonna have a caller if our caller's here?
The caller is here.
Caller looks like they're coming in. Some English not broken.
If you want,
and call ended normally.
If he wants,
the calls are coming. It's 12:05. Just give it a second.
I'm just telling you, it's strange. When I text out, the
calls
are coming.
We don't ever do it this early.
You think like you're losing influence on the internet?
No, they usually.
Oh, this is it. Dave lost his fastball.
It's made my dad.
Dave lost his fastball.
People not interested.
So, Mike, this was your Father's Day gift, is to come around here and then have Dave take you out to dinner.
Yes.
It sounds like Dave reluctantly did it. Sounds like
you're reluctant.
Sounds like
that's not fair. That's not fair.
Who said I'm reluctant?
I didn't say it.
I said it.
He said it.
You excited? Excited for dinner tonight, Dave? Just you two?
I don't know if the word excited
steak,
would be appropriate.
No, I haven't had a steak in a while, so it'll be good. It's close. Yeah. I made it for 6:45. Hopefully that wasn't too late.
Kind of late.
I know it's late.
What's your ideal dinner time?
I know. Well, we got to get out like 5.
No comment.
I'm with you on the early dinners.
Do you know... Can I say something?
You take things
I got up
I say
this morning.
Insults,
I got
insult.
Up this morning basically on my own and got picked up at 5:30 this morning.
Have you heard about him talking about though how he's scheduled like as much as he thinks he understands an Uber, he doesn't because he pre-schedules the Uber like the night before. I'm like, why don't you just wake up?
No,
and
wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait a minute.
It's like, well, I know this guy has a nice car, so I guess the Uber guy, if I'm understanding this, he drives in front of my dad's house and parks
waiting.
The Uber. So when my dad calls for an Uber, he's like there to get it.
You
right? That's what you say happens.
You twisted that. There were other people in the room that heard me tell
he's,
that.
Yeah, and the young page is shaking that. You got talking to the microphone, but twist it.
All right. This guy, his daughter lives in the next street over from me, okay? And I know, and he's an Uber or an Uber driver, all right? Yep. He does that. He's a retired guy. He's got a beautiful Jaguar that he picks people up in. And I know that when I call him, I could call him 3 days before, and he will be there when I ask him to be there, and there's no question. There's no doubt. We've done it a few times where people, before we met this guy, the regular drivers would say yes, and then 10 minutes later say no. All right? So this guy is 100% dependable.
Why don't you just...
Can I finish? What? And the reason...
Shut down.
That when he comes to the house is when we go on the Uber from the cell phone then and there, because if we did it any other way, there'd be other drivers
right,
in the area. This way, he gets the ride.
I get it. I have a crazy question. If you have direct contact with him, why do you use Uber? Why don't you just pay him?
That would be fine with me, but he told me, I actually asked him that. I was willing to do that. And he said, no, he didn't want to do that, something about the insurance or something like that. As a matter of fact, one time, which is why I would think I'm a pretty good patron of his, one time, when we leave the airport.
How can you be? How often do you use this guy?
I've been using him more than you would think. I mean, like, we went away recently, when David paid for us to go to Alaska, Florida. All right.
So like three times.
Whatever.
In the last
whatever. To show you what a nice guy I am. The other thing he has to do at the airport, he cannot go on the site at the airport for some reason.
To pick you up
when
you land.
Yes.
Correct.
So
they don't let Uber do that.
Right. So he goes down about a quarter mile, and that's when he goes on. One time we did it, the charge from Uber was going to be like $9. Some ridiculous amount of money. I felt bad, but I gave him a $20 tip.
Ooh.
Right. You big spender.
Crazy man.
Cash.
Wild man. Cash.
Straight cash.
No, but I mean, the reason I said cash, because you just said, why didn't you just...
You know, that was crazy.
Yeah.
You're a big, big wheel.
I'm
big
a nice guy.
John, I don't know this. I know what this is going to be. John, what do you got?
Okay, Mr. Portnoy, I just want to know if there's an update to your longstanding beef with the U.S. Postal Service. For those maybe who don't listen to PMT, maybe you could give an overview. And have you convinced them that you're not a narco terrorist?
No.
Yeah, what is it? I've heard rumblings of this, like your mail is getting burned or something.
Yeah, singed. The bottom of the envelope is singed.
Well, every piece of mail.
Virtually every piece of mail. Yeah,
what
it goes
are you
right
talking
through.
About?
If there's a letter inside, the letter will be singed.
Do you think it has something to do with like a bookie or something?
No.
What do you mean singe?
What does singe mean? Do you know what
burn,
singe?
Fire?
Yes, burn.
Why?
Like
why?
Burned a little bit.
There's a machine in the main post. This is what I'm told by the postal quote-unquote authorities. There's a machine at the main post office which is malfunctioning and is burning the mail.
Or everybody's mail.
You think they just picked me out? I don't think
that
so.
I don't know. But the way hear these rumors,
I am not
now
walking.
About you,
I am not stopping people at the post office.
Why are people burning
I'm not
your dad's
stopping,
mail?
I'm not stopping people at the post office as they're leaving to say, "Oh, by the way, is your mail getting burned?" I've told the local post office of this, and they said it's the main post office. Hello, could you do something about it? Nothing has happened. But this caller just asked, "Has something else come up?" It has. I was telling Dan before. You talk about any of this going to my head. I am starting to feel that I have some kind of public platform to extend these complaints that I have with the post office.
Oh, yeah. That's what
and
your
the
son
latest
does.
Thing, the latest thing, and I can't do a picture here, but I showed it to Dan. I have a post office box there. My post office, let's
Why?
Say. Why? Because that.
Oh, the lawyer?
Yeah. So let's say that there's 60 boxes. On a wall. My box, which has always been the case, is the lowest one, way over in the left-hand corner.
So you're trying to use your public influence to get a higher box?
No. Let me finish. So I've had this forever, this post office box. For me to get to open it, I have to basically get on my knees because it's down near the floor. The combination, a safe cracker would have trouble with it. I can do it, but think about this. It's very difficult to do it if you're on your knees and you really can't see what you're doing.
Right.
So there's also a little, I gave him pictures. Dan, PFT, I gave him pictures. There's a little lip right below the wall that the boxes are on of about a quarter of an inch. Now, I've told you I'm having some physical problems with my knees and whatnot. So I have to lean on this little lip to get to the post office. I've almost killed myself about five times because my elbow slips off the
while
off
you're
the
trying
lip.
To crack the safety your own thing is what we're talking about. You're
yeah, I'm trying to get in my own box, my own with the singed mail.
Right.
So the caller just asked me. The caller just asked me a minute ago, "Am I having other issues?" I am. And I also, you know the story about that.
What do you mean you are? What's the issue? But there's an ongoing, this has been the same issue forever.
But it ought to be taken care of.
You just want a different box.
But if I get a different box, they'll change the number. I can't do that because I have people sending me things with that number.
Mm. So this sounds like quite the quandary.
What are you gonna do?
That is a,
couldn't they forward that, though?
Well, I don't want to do that.
They should just be able to move the location of the box and keep the number the same.
You think they're going to do that? You don't honestly think they'd agree to that. No. The other thing,
but
that,
you do have
a public
platform
now. I bet you could
now.
Probably change your password, too. It's kind of like your email. Like, you can't change it. You don't have
what
to
keep. What
does
that have to do with anything we're talking about?
You said you had this ridiculous combo.
What?
I thought you said you had a ridiculous combo to unlock the
combination, you
yeah.
mean? It's a round thing. I don't have to change it. I know it.
Oh, I thought you said you, at one point.
I thought you were talking about passwords on the cell phone. I didn't know what you were talking about.
I don't know what you were talking about.
There are other issues, too. They lost.
That's not really an issue. That's just you're old and can't bend down
they
to the
lost,
last row. And
they
you
lost
have to get
a $300 pair of boots that I sent to Timberland to be repaired.
Oh, this is one of the all-time. This is. I'm glad you brought that up.
Yeah, let's go to a
there
break.
Is nobody
when we come
who
back,
takes advantage
get...
of the lifelong warranty more than the Portnoy's.
We're going to get the Timberland boot story when we come back on Barstool Radio right now.
These boots are made for walking, and that's just what they'll do. One of these days, these boots are gonna walk all over you.
Mike Portnoy Esquire is in the building here with Barstool Radio on Rush 93 Sirius XM. It's me, Caleb, Dave, and Mr. Portnoy. And before the break, we were talking about what apparently is an infamous Portnoy tale of the Timberland boots. It sounds like...
Well, no, it's not the Timberland boots. I didn't know about the Timberland boots. He just offered that information that he sent back a pair of Timberland boots. I assume they have the same warranty, which is you can buy one pair for life.
Well, L.L. Bean has that.
What is Timberland? Why were you sending back Timberland boots?
The sole, and the boots were not that old. The sole came apart.
How much not that old?
They weren't 10 years old or anything like that. And I want to tell you, can I tell you something?
Big, no,
I
how tell you old something. Were the boots?
It couldn't have been that outrageous.
How old were
can
the
I
boots?
Can I say something? It couldn't have been that outrageous because when I called Timberland, they said, by all means, send them back.
Yeah, it's customer service.
Yeah, so I know what it is. So, so the problem tied into the post office, they lost the damn boots. They're in Maine, I think, Timberland. The boots went to Atlanta, Georgia. I couldn't get them back. So I got a big $50 because I didn't sent it, you know, insured it, and that took me 6 months to get. I want to say before you go into what you're going to talk about in a minute, you're right. I think certain things should not fail. Look at LL Bean. That's the whole thing. We guarantee the stuff forever. And I want to tell you, I couldn't be the only one that was returning things because within the last year, they've decided to change that policy because I've gone to return.
They're going to call it the Mike Portnoy rule.
Well,
my
dad, I think you returned, a 10-year-old pair of jeans?
I've returned numerous things.
He wears them to the bone and then just gets a new one based
on
the
fine print. I want to say, in my defense.
Like 10 years that you had those jeans.
I want to say, I don't remember the jeans, might be. But in my defense, this stuff is always more expensive.
But, I mean, a pair of jeans the last 10 years.
You're saying jeans,
good.
I don't remember.
The guy loves a good warranty.
I want to tell you.
He does love a good warranty.
I want to tell you, I've gone there to return things, and I might have one item, and the next person over has 70 items. I mean, this is people, you know, they treat it as a lending library.
Which you don't have seven. I mean, if you had that right. many items.
Okay. I gave my position on that. Right. I don't think when you buy a, I hate it when clothes pill. You buy a nice polo shirt, and after you wear it five times, the collar's all pilled.
Yeah.
I don't stand for that.
You know what? I love it. I love that move. It shouldn't be that way. The rest of us suckers
That's
are walking
right.
around with pilled collars,
that,
not Mike Portnoy.
Put that on a plaque. My dad will not stand for pilled shirts. I won't
stand for it.
A lot of things you can get away with, but a shirt that pills. That,
that's it. That's I've where never, he draws the line.
And for the record, I've never actually heard that pills.
I know
you
that
never
means.
Heard that term?
What does it mean?
Do you know what it
I
means?
I thought it always meant when it kind of like...
On the collar.
Yeah.
It'll get little like...
Little fuzz balls kind of,
yeah,
right?
I'm sure if we go around...
Can you talk into... Can you please talk
into
the microphone?
I'm sure if we go out in the office there and randomly checked.
You're still not talking into the microphone.
It's right here.
Right, so talk into it.
Okay.
If you want to look at Caleb, move it.
Right, I was talking to Caleb. Okay. I'm sure if we went out into the office, we could randomly.
It's like when you wash your shirts a lot, the kind of like little fuzz balls will peel off.
Okay.
Right. I don't think that should happen.
You won't stand for it. All right, got some calls here.
Let's take them.
Grant, what do you got?
Hey, long time, first time, big fan, salt of the earth, brick by brick. I got a question for Mike Portnoy, Esquire. Strike me as a history guy. I wanted to know what city had a great fire in 1874? Thank you.
What city? Chicago?
We got him. Chicago. Oh, Ted.
Yeah.
He doesn't even know it. He doesn't even know what just happened.
He was trying to get you to say Chicago, so he came up with a trivia question.
And he got
it. That was good.
And you said it in that weird way. How does he say says it?
It wasn't that bad.
I'm embarrassed.
It was not that bad.
That does anybody know if that was the right answer?
I think that was the reason, yes.
I think that's probably why I called.
The Great Fire.
That was good.
Don't let that guy call again.
Chicago. He does say it a little odd. Maybe it's bad.
Don't let that guy.
Do you have that, Frankie? Can you pull that back?
Oh,
no,
man.
Chicago. So
that was mean. There's no other word for that.
That was mean. Hey, you got to be head on a swivel here on Barstool.
Dad, what do you want in this turkey sandwich here? Turkey and Swiss, that's it? Lettuce?
Yeah.
No condiment?
Lettuce.
And that's it?
Yeah.
No mayo, no honey mustard, none of that?
Turkey. Honey mustard.
Oh.
You want honey mustard?
Yeah.
Turkey and Swiss and lettuce. Honey. All right.
By the way, I think Frank the Tank had a cheesesteak the other day with no cheese. I think it was just meat on a roll with salt. I don't know what's going on, Frank.
I can't get over that. Is
he still kicking?
That guy suck at me.
Yeah, he did. And you have the answer, too. Lizzie, what do you got?
Okay, so I have a question for Mr. Portnoy. If someone would have asked you 20 years ago where and what they would be doing at 40, what would your answer be?
Interesting question.
I always said, my wife would confirm this, that my son was never going to work for anybody. I knew that because no matter what you said to him, he always had some kind of an answer. And most of the time, they were plausible answers. I might have not agreed with him. And I think that he didn't really do well with authority figures. I don't know if he'd agree with that or not. But I never thought about...
I mean, not authority, not like police.
No, I don't mean police. I meant bosses.
Bosses.
I got along with bosses, but I always want to try my own thing. The better question is, when did you realize Barstool was successful? Like, I feel like
but
that's
you've
only,
asked me that before.
Yeah, probably like 4 weeks ago.
No. Well, obviously, when you got involved with churning, that was a big turning point. But I think even before that, I realized that it was going to be.
What did you think of the Blackout Tour when we were doing that? Because that was making us money, but it was like obviously a ridiculous fucking business.
Well, I probably didn't understand all the ramifications of it, but I mean, the kind of money that was coming in was astounding. I never thought about the fact whether it couldn't go on like this or would go on. I don't think I ever thought of it in those terms. I just felt like it was an explosion.
Yeah. Yeah, it was.
It was. But then we, as fast as it came, it went. Bingo, what do you got?
Hey, big fan out of Omaha, Nebraska. Also a big fan of Mike Portnoy, Esquire. So I've got a this or that for you. And I think the Barstool fans will be pretty split on it. I'm looking for your opinion. Who has the better accent/voice, Mike Portnoy, Esquire, or Mike Rappaport? Battle of the mics.
The New York accent versus the Boston accent.
I mean, a lot of people say my dad and I sound
alike. I think that's so, that we sound alike.
I think he has more of an accent than you.
My dad.
Yes.
But I'm talking about the quality, the sound, the physical sound of our voice.
Yep.
When I hear him on the phone, I really think it's very similar.
Yeah, no, I hear that. But I think as far as the accent goes, I think you have more of that Boston. I think I'm taking Rappaport.
I love Rappaport's voice. He makes me laugh. I'm confused by this thing. This Mike Frank at Mike N. Frank. He's some Twitter nobody. He just sent me. It's on my timeline. At Golf Digest gets it. At Stu Presente, get Riggs Barstool in check. And I don't know what this is in regards to.
I kind of like how the Foreplay boys are always just fucking, they're renegades at this point.
I don't even know what they're doing. So this guy, it's like I get a DM of a conversation. Hey, man, thanks. And this is
maybe it's related to the Trump thing?
Maybe the Golf Digest guy reaching out. Hey, man, thanks for reaching out. We always want to handle things the right way. Sorry Barstool didn't. Those guys are usually good about that sort of stuff. Maybe it's crediting a video?
Yeah, so it looks like there's a blog up right now on Barstool with video of Trump at the golf course, and it's a big story because Trump violates all the rules. He drives his cart over the greens. He always plays first on every hole. He'll drive through every group, whatever
it's
he wants
to do. His own course.
Right. That's a big difference, by
Huge.
The way. I mean, when people first said the story, it just sounded like any time he's on a golf course, he does this. When he's on a Trump course, he does what the fuck he wants. But yeah, it looks like it was a DM and a video sent privately. So if I had to guess, I think that's some fucking loser complaining about credit.
Absolute loser.
Losers! Bro.
What credit for what?
What happens?
Hey, Mike Frank, you get credit for it.
Yo, okay, baby.
Hey,
call him a loser. Then why did we put our logo on it?
Because he sent it to us.
But then, like, what?
But we're in the credit business. Well, that's what we do.
Like, credit going to us actually matters, whereas credit going to some, like, just normal dude.
This kid wanted Mike Frank to be credited as opposed to, like, Barstool. No one gives a fuck.
Like, he's sending, like, a PNG and put, like, his personal
I assume
logo
this
on
is
it.
What it is.
You got to get your own personal watermarks up, man. You want credit? You got to take the necessary
and
steps.
This was sent to us as, like, a DM?
It looks like it, yeah. That looks like a DM to me. And it explains, hey, Riggsy, blah, 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 blah. So it's like someone sent this to a guy who blogs, and he blogged it.
Hey, Prez, I have this video. You're sending that to me for Barstool to use the video, and then you could go cry like a baby. Hey, Mike Frank, at Mike and Frank, go kill yourself.
We actually credited him on Twitter.
And we credited him on Twitter, Frankie said. So what the fuck? Are we wrong in just assuming
this, that? Am I right? If I'm wrong about Mike and Frank and it has nothing to do with this, but sending me, I don't care, Mike and Frank.
Put up a Twitter video and at the end added Mike and Frank.
So it is Mike and Frank.
So wait, yeah. but here, so
is
then why is he
just
complaining?
A nobody, like, what is he?
Do we know what he's upset about?
I don't know what he's upset about.
I looked at his account.
Every time I turn around, the Foreplay boys are pissing somebody off.
I look at Mike and Frank's account. He has 587 followers. 543 following.
He got a hat tip on the blog on the bottom.
What does he want? You nobody.
Yeah, our Instagram's way bigger than our Twitter, and it literally says credit Mike and Frank on Twitter.
So maybe he's complaining. I don't know. Tweet at him. Be like, what the fuck are you complaining about, man?
Dude.
Call in the show, you loser.
Grow up.
646-627-8450.
You fucking loser.
Let me tell you this, though. I like how the Foreplay guys are doing this, and people always seem to be pissed off, because that's kind of exactly what they set out to do when they were like, everyone in golf is so stuck up and stuffy, and we're going to like lighten the mood, and all of those same people who they call stuck up and stuffy are acting stuck up.
I get it if it's like comes from Golf Digest or something like that, but if you call Riggs Riggsy, that means like you're a fan of Barstool. It's like you're saying the video, use it. Like Riggsy, air quotes,
Bozo.
Did exactly what I'd want him to do. You stick a logo on a video so it goes viral. That's our life.
To be honest, I don't think watermarks do anything either. So,
maybe Golf Digest credit us. I don't know what. Credit the Golf Digest guy being like, Barstool's pretty good at what? You're just a peasant. You're like a fan peasant who sent us a video. Be happy that we posted it. That's why you sent it to us, right? You want Mike and Frank at Mike and Frank to get credit? I don't get it, Mike and Frank.
In the old school days?
You loser.
The old school days, I remember you used to say that the tips email was like the lifeblood of Barstool. And people used to send that shit in just so the blog would be good. That's all they wanted. They were just like, yo, you guys are putting out a good product. Like, here's a story, here's a picture, here's a video, whatever. That's all. They were just doing it for the love of the blog.
And now the world
is just consumed with credit. And you're right, Caleb, in pointing out that I think it is sometimes hypocritical, because I think we want credit for all sorts of ideas and shit.
Kind of.
I personally don't.
No, I don't care about watermarks.
I don't care what people jack our t-shirt ideas. I don't.
I see the difference, but we're definitely like, we want the credit.
Yeah.
We can't be like, yo, this guy's a loser because he wants the credit.
No, yes, you can.
Because he sent it to us?
Because he's not like in the business of the credit doesn't mean anything.
If I wasn't running like a media company and I sent in a video, I don't need the credit for sending that. I'm sending it so it goes viral.
This could have been his big opportunity.
To do what?
To go viral.
And then he should have just tweeted it.
Let me tell you something.
That happens every fucking day. People just tweet something, they go viral on their own.
Let me tell you this too. I've dealt with this before. With a dude who did really good Photoshops of Mike Francesa. But he did terrible watermarks that like kind of ruined the picture. So I remember I cropped it out and he went nuts over it. And I remember saying to him, I was like, you know what? You do really good work. And if you just actually like approached me and was like, yo,
I remember
like,
this.
Let's work together. I'll make you these Photoshops explicitly for you, and then like you shout me out or talk about my website, whatever. He probably could have like had a gig here almost, but he was a little bitch about it and cried about it. So I was like, now I'm going to go out of the way to cut out all of your watermarks all the fucking time.
And let me tell you this.
That's an opportunity when you find this guy like got on our radar. He could have been like, I don't know, I'll send you more videos from the golf course.
He just had a random video. People send that shit in all the time, homie.
Yo.
Start our calls today with the human zero, Frank and Mike. Mike and Frank is on the line. What's up, you loser?
We need Mike and Frank to explain, before I say another word, why he is so butthurt that Riggsy, his boy Riggsy, did not say Mike and Frank took this, did not credit him properly.
I'm on your side here, bro.
Before I start, I want to say what an honor it is to talk to El Presidente, who built the company for the common man, who has fought against content stealing for years.
You sent the content, Mike and Frank.
Okay, Prez, I'm not mad about the post of the video. The watermark is what's pissing me off.
Who did you send the video to, Mike and Frank?
So, yesterday, I posted it, I tweeted it out, and I knew it was going to go viral if it got picked up, but I decided to give it to Barstool, longtime stoolie, big fan of what you guys do over there. And so I tweeted it out to Foreplay Pod, who DM'd me saying, hey, can you email us this and we'll post it? And I said, yeah, that's cool. Just give my Twitter handle credit when you post it as the original video.
Did they do that?
So it was sent out. Foreplay Pod did. But they put a watermark on it because they knew it wasn't on the internet before I posted it. I told them that. So they put a watermark on it, and then the Barstool accounts picked it up. I'm not butthurt about the post and not getting credit. The watermark pisses me off.
Well, then don't send it to us, dude.
What pisses you off about it? How does this impact you in any way?
And how do you think we get these videos with the watermarks? You think we take them all ourselves?
No. But I just assume you would ask if you can water. I would have put my own watermark on it.
What is your own watermark?
What is Frank Mike and Frank? What a ridiculous thing. Are you that big of an ego fucking maniac that you and your 500 fucking followers need a Frank and Beans watermark? Bro, you took the videos going viral. Isn't that what you wanted?
I wanted it to come viral from you guys, though.
It fucking did.
How can you be mad about our watermark being on it if you wanted it to go viral for
Barstool? It did exactly what you said. You said you're a fan. You sent it to us. They actually asked for the email clearly to post it. That's why they couldn't just take it. They put the watermark, which I tell our guys to do. If you have something viral that's not on the internet that a fan of Barstool sends to us, stick the logo on it. We've done 1,000 fucking times.
But not tag them when they post it?
You did, though.
The Foreplay did.
You're on, like, two different social media platforms
with your shit being shouted out. Like, we have different people running, like, the Barstool account as we do, like, the Foreplay. It's not, like, fucking a malicious thing, and you're sending, like,
Barstool
DMs. Why did you need
Barstool
Golf Digest? Why did you need Golf Digest to say this came from you and your 500 followers?
Because fuck Fineball Riggsy.
What? You sent it to him.
You just said how much you love it, and you sent it to him on purpose because you like their show and you like them.
Because I thought he would give me credit when it was...
What do you need that credit for?
How does that let you sleep at night, Frank and Beans? Let's run it back. Let's run it back. Frank, what if we put up the video with the Frank and Beans watermark? What would happen? What would be different? What would change in your life?
I start a mass media company that takes off.
I hire a bunch of characters.
Maybe start a golf podcast with two talented... golfers?
I got to say, we get videos sent every day. Very rarely do they get to talk to Dave. I feel like you've gotten more credit than anyone ever sent us a video.
I was going to say, this is actually setting a bad precedent.
But how often do this every day. How often, and so we got Coley in line who he runs the Instagram and a lot of it. So you or Paul put that. Yeah, so one of you guys put this one up. Okay, so... You know, we like to us, it makes no difference tagging that one. It literally makes no difference to us. You say you don't want the watermark on it, but like, how many people, Coley, send us videos and then go through what Frank and Beans are doing and, like, complaining about the way, like, we said it was from us.
Every once in a while, we'll get, like, a follow-up DM, like, hey, do you mind? Either people will want credit or they'll say, I don't want it from me because they just want it anonymous. They don't want, like, it's either incriminating or, like, they're drinking, something like that. They just don't want it. So probably, like, 5% of the time, someone will follow up.
Frank and Beans, you get, like, when we get something that comes from, as you admittedly say, like, a stoolie or a fan, like, they're helping us, and you're helping us send the videos. It's kind of like we just assume, all right, you sent it to us, you picked us, you're a fan of ours, you know we're using it for Barstool.
Yeah.
And I'll
that's why I picked you, and I just asked that my handle get – like
no, but
the,
you said the watermark is what
I would
pissed
like
you
some
off.
Press.
You said the watermark is
the
what pissed you off.
Because it's now it looks like it came from Barstool. It looks like it was filmed from Barstool.
Yeah, but no one in their right mind thinks we have, like, guys all over the country, like, hiding out in trees taking these videos, like, around the clock.
I remember the funniest lines Dave ever had. We were talking about the guest that asked stuff. He's like, what do you think, we have Devlin on the fucking Almafi Coast taking these pictures? Of course we take them from the internet.
What? But is that you in the video talking?
So what I am just not happy about is the article by Golf Digest was written and said it was an original video from Barstool Sports. So
Didn't it say we posted it?
He fixed it.
Yeah, no, they went back.
Yeah, but
I think the original said originally circulated by or something like that.
Originally circulated by, which is exactly what it was. Like, somebody had to do that, Mike and Frank. I hate to break it to you. Like, if it wasn't us or somebody else, somebody is originally going, and this is what we said before you came on. If we don't put the logo on there, nobody's getting credit. Like, Bleacher Report will end up getting credit.
Right.
So that's what we do. So, it's like
usually fans of the site like that. That's why you do it.
The minute it was posted without my handle by you guys, I knew the only way I was going to be able to create visibility for myself was to raise a shitstorm that I'm incredibly pissed and offended Barstool would steal
visibility,
this.
Man. It's fucking visibility
when you send it to us, Mike and Frank.
All right,
we didn't go on your Twitter handle and just grab it. You sent it, and I saw the thing because the Golf Digest guy, which you sent to me, you actually called Riggs Riggsy. When you call somebody Riggsy, he can do whatever the fuck he wants with that. He could shove that video down your face and poop on it. When you call him,
this was the only way to gain visibility was to create a shitstorm about all this. Which
visibility for what? What's the end game?
I don't know. Just get some traffic to my handle. I'm bored at work. This has been a great Thursday morning.
All right, fine. I can live with that.
Fair enough.
All right, fine.
You win that.
But Mike and Frank just got a more busy, interesting Thursday morning. Fine. That's fine.
I think we all did. It was a good couple segments here on Barstool Radio.
Fine.
So,
all right.
Everybody wins.
Keep doing you, Frank, and Beans.
Could you imagine being just a normal ass person calling a radio show talking about your visibility? That's fucking crazy.
I checked his Twitter. He has 202 grand total tweets, like, ever.
Yeah. He just didn't want this to go viral without him.
My visibility.
Frank, I actually don't hate Frank and Beans. Frank and Beans said at the very end, he said the one thing that it's like I can live with is, like, I'm just fucking bored with my life, and now I'm in the mix. Now I'm swinging on this show. I'm DMing with Golf Digest. People are changing shit, so fucking fine, Frank and Beans. You know what? Like, that is cube life.
Yeah,
like,
oh, absolutely. That's the best day of this guy's life.
Yeah, you just need to, and when you're in a typical cube, you survive minute to minute. So, like, he just killed 20 minutes, just, like, that went by fast because it's, like, now I'm in a fight.
And I can go to lunch. Like,
yeah. Right. So he's like, a couple hours.
That's
the weekend.
An hour closer to 5 o'clock. Yeah.
The weekend is knocking.
He might take tomorrow off.
Slide right in. So I actually can live with that because that is true. Like, you know what? If he didn't do it, it's done. His thrill is over. Now he's telling his boy, like, the boss comes over and it's like, hey, what was this all about? He's just passing the time. That's all it is.
If he's smart, he changes his Twitter handle to Frank and Beans right now. Just ditch the whole Mike and Frank. Just run with the Frank and Beans moniker.
That was a good answer at the end. So, whatever, give Frank and Beans. You're welcome back, and, you know, you can stay a stoolie.
He dodged that who was talking question. Might want to call him back, see if it was even his video to begin with.
Ooh, maybe he stole it.
That's what I'm saying. I had one of his buddies texted
entirely,
it to him.
Actually, no, I think he said that. Wait a minute. Hang on. I think he said,
no, he
I
said
know
it
a
wasn't
guy
on the internet.
Okay, yeah. Just saw the video. Yeah. All right, this the DM I thought was saying another guy filmed it, but either way, Frank and Beans, Good for you, pal.
No, now I think
small cube victories everywhere.
And I think people are tweeting at him because now I'm getting like blocked by Frank and Beans. But that's good. Frank and Beans now he's lighting up on social media this way he wants.
Keep an eye on his followers, Coley. Let's see if he goes up. Let's see if Mike and Frank actually gets the visibility he requested. He desires so greatly.
Frank and
fucking
Beans.
Zero.
Somebody just made a gif of me just spanking Frank and Beans.
We're gonna head to break. When we come back, we'll talk about the video.
Frankie Borelli followed him.
Well, that's just being a good
producer.
Videos.
That's just being a good producer.
That is crazy when it's like people like, honestly, where do you think we get the videos from? What do you think? We got 9,000 people out in the street. 9,000?
People still don't understand
9
the internet.
9 million just
they don't understand
in
it.
Bushes and trees waiting for these weird moments to happen.
Freelance photographers all over the world.
The Brady Gate thing, they literally thought I took that photo. Like in the like bushes of Belize, like waiting for like Brady's kid.
We'll be back.
Ban all the music with a phony gas chamber, cause one's got a weasel and others got a flag.
Herschel Walker is in the building.
Hello there. How you doing?
How you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good. I like Wingate because I think I have a company that do draperies for them, so we got to stay at Wingate.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's more work for my people.
How many companies do you have?
I have three companies. I have a Best Red Drapery company you mentioned, and I have a food company, also a promotion company. You know, I have to work. You know, when you get out of football, you got to work. People think you make a lot of money, and you don't go to work after that. You have to work a little bit. Then I'm fighting. Yeah, that's the reason I'm here. You know, I have to work. I'm trying to pay the bills.
Yeah, you have three companies, and you still didn't win The Apprentice?
Well, you know, the reason I didn't win The Apprentice is Donald wanted me to help Joan. And people got mad, and I was like, you know, people always got problems because they said, Herschel, you and Donald so close that you shouldn't win The Apprentice because then they think it's rigged. And I'm like, so what? I'm better than the person that won it. So
right.
Who cares?
You actually have a long history with President Trump, with the Generals,
yes.
New Jersey Generals.
Yes.
And then Apprentice. Did you see his clip yesterday on the golf course?
No, I didn't see that. Is it
he's
bad?
Ripping around. No, he's
I
just
can pull it up for you right now.
Depends on who you ask.
That's part. If you have anyone Democratic, he had a terrible time. If Republican, he was okay.
He's ripping around the golf course on a golf cart driving over the green. Some say it's a no-no.
Well, his golf course, isn't it?
It sure is. Right.
His country.
He can do whatever he wants to do.
Some would say he's pretty powerful. He can kind of do whatever
that's
he wants.
He can do whatever he wants to do. If I was him, I'd do that too.
You guys still stay in touch?
I do. I do talk to Donald. You know what's so funny? I call him Donald, but I hope they're not going to get mad at me. But yeah, we do. And I stay in touch with the kids, you know, little Donald and little Ivanka, you know. I was with him most all the time. So we're still pretty good friends.
Is that surreal, like weird for you to meet someone earlier in your life in one capacity and then like 20 years later they're the president of the United States?
Well, you know, it was weird because where I grew up in South Georgia, I realized that sometimes we dream that we can never be that. And I think Donald Trump, and I think people see that you can be whatever you want to be, but you got to work at what you do. Because, you know, to be honest, I didn't think Donald would ever run for president, even though when he ran the first time, I said, you know, it's just something he's doing. But I think the American people spoke loud and clear that they want something different. And, you know, and that's why I tell everyone right now, if you have a good message, run. Because, you know, the American people are looking for something different. And Donald was something different. And I think they're seeing it now.
How has he changed, or has he, since you first met him? You first meet him with the Generals?
I did. You know, Donald has not changed that much. And I tell people all the time, you know, Donald says and does a lot of crazy things, like the Twitter stuff. And I said, guys, what he's doing, he's playing poker. And, you know, we're so particular, the United States, our presidents are so cookie cutter. What I mean by that is when you negotiate against a foreign leader, you're going to do the same thing over and over. Well, because Donald do all this crazy stuff, they really think he's crazy.
Right.
So when they go in and negotiate against him, they don't know what he's going to do. So they're going to negotiate fairly with him.
Right.
That's the reason he said that he's a great negotiator, because they don't want him. He's not predictable.
Right.
You don't know what he's going to do. He tweets out and does all those crazy tweets. But Donald's not crazy. Donald is a smart man. He paid me, so you know I got to support him and stuff. So you know I got to be in his corner. But he is really a good guy. You know, I think he does a lot of crazy things, but Donald is a good guy. And, you know, his kids are good people. And I'm a person of color. And they were talking about racist at first. And I'm like, damn, I've been at Donald eating in his meal. I'm always hanging out with him. So he's been cool to me.
Right.
And I'm from the South. That's what's worse. A New Yorker hanging out with a guy from the South is even worse.
You're talking about being smart. You were
High school valedictorian, I read.
Oh, yeah. That was only two people in my class. Now, you can't. No,
hey, I, no, you're still credit now. You still had to beat out somebody.
Well, yeah, I did. But you know what it was? A lot of people don't know, realize that I didn't grow up with sports. I grew up reading and learning. My parents were real big on academics. Right. So I learned football from a book. A lot of things that I've learned in sports, I picked up a book. Yeah, I picked up a book on first it was on military, like the Marines. That's how I learned to work out. And then I learned about Gale Sayles. I read about Gale Sayles. I was like, wow, man, he's an incredible football player. And I started learning how to work out. And I played football as competition. It had nothing to do with the game itself, but I knew how to compete. And that's what I tell kids today is learn how to compete. And not to be mean, but we don't give kids balls for striking out. Don't give someone praise for doing something bad. You
like
know,
participation trophy.
Yeah, like they like give him heart. Like in Rocky, give him heart. Don't give him. But and what I mean by that is, today is so competitive. Whatever you want, 100 other people want it. So if we start rewarding you for something bad, like you don't think you get. No, that ain't the way it worked, homie. You got to work. You got to work at that. That's one reason, and I know I don't want to get off into it right now, but that's one reason I like MMA. In football, I may make a mistake, but that quarterback or that offensive lineman or that receiver make me look good, and we win the game. In MMA, you make a mistake, you're going to get knocked out, or you're going to get submitted. So it's all on you. So you don't step into that cage not prepared, or that ring, even in boxing. You don't step in them not prepared. It is all on you. You can forget about your trainers. You forget about everyone else. It's on you. And, you know, track and field, when I was a sprinter, it's on me. If I screw up, Hersha, it's you. It's not. You're not going to hurt anyone else.
Well, you're not really the type of guy who screwed up a ton.
Oh, no, I did. You know, I did. I tell everyone know the glory, but they don't know my story. I've screwed up a lot of times. You know, I funny story, and you guys ain't going to remember this guy. That was a guy who played for the Cincinnati Bengals by the name of Larry Kennebrew. He weighed about 250 pounds. And I remember Larry Kennebrew, when I was in the ninth grade, this is the honest truth, he beat me in the 100-meter dash. He was a senior. I was in the ninth grade. That haunted me for 30-something years, and I was doing a business deal with Home Depot, and the guy I was going to be meeting with was the last name of Kennebrew. And I don't know why, but something in the back of my mind, it hit me like, wait a minute, I got beat by. And I started looking up this guy, Kennebrew, and I realized, well, they were from the same place, so I realized they may be related. So I went into this meeting, and I didn't get into the meeting.
Ready to
I
fight.
Got it. I did. I was ready. I was like, wait a minute.
I can see it.
I told him, I said, wait a minute. Before we start talking business, you had a guy, your brother beat me in the 100-meter dash when I was in the ninth grade. We have to race again. Because, you know, I lost sleep over that. And that's probably the reason I don't sleep well now. And this is the honest truth. And he said, no, Hersha, who are you talking about? I said, Larry Kennebrew beat me in the 100-meter dash when I was in the ninth grade. And he said, no, that's not my brother. That's my nephew. So that's not my problem. I said, he beat me. We need to race again. but it does. I compete to win.
Do you race him?
I
was like, yeah,
no,
happened?
You know, he said he gained weight. He gained 300 pounds.
Excuses.
That's not your problem.
Yeah, excuses. That's exactly right. Yeah. That's the reason I tell people now, I come prepared. If it's time to go, it's time to go. And I come prepared. Now, I'm not sure where he's at. He's hiding. But anyone that know Larry Kennebrew out there, tell him I'm looking for him.
Larry, call in.
Yeah, call Larry. In,
Larry.
Larry,
where you at?
You coward.
Yeah, quit running from me.
Yo, I read that your MMA career, you didn't necessarily like retire, but like just people were just like, I just don't want to fight him. Like, you're 2-0, and they're just like, I don't really want those problems.
You know, I think what it was, not just that. It's just that, you know, I think people thought I was a joke at first, that they thought I got into the sport. But this is a serious sport. I went to AKA. I started training with Cain Velasquez, Daniel Cormier, Luke Rockhold, Josh Thompson, all those names. And these are great fighters. So I went and started training. And at first, people would fight me. And then they said, we're not sure right now. First of all, he's older. Second of all, you know, we get beat by Herschel Walker. That's not a good thing either. Which is fine because, you know, I fight for fun. You know, I give all my money. I win. I give it to the churches, which is a terrible mistake because now – every church in America need an air conditioner. They need a heat. They need this. And I'm like, dude.
Churches are getting needy.
Yeah, they get needy. They always need something. But
tell them to start fighting.
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Start fighting.
Earn your keep. But that's what it is. I take athletics seriously. Like I said, I didn't grow up doing it, but I learned it. I read about it. I studied it. I trained it. And I don't just go into it real lightly. I go into it, like I said, I go into it to win. No one should go into anything to lose.
I mean, you've had one, and you continue to have like one of the most historically successful careers of any athlete in any sport. I mean, you were in the 1992 Olympics on the bobsledding team.
Wow.
You have a statue in Athens, Georgia.
Well, it's funny. We need to talk about this. The statue is in Athens, Georgia, but not at the University of Georgia football field. They asked them about putting it at the University of Georgia football field, and they was like, "Nah, we don't want to do that. You got too many athletes that had to play well." So it's in Athens, Georgia. So Athens loved me. So that means if I ever run for president, I can carry the city of Athens, probably carry Georgia, maybe can carry New York. So all the people out there, I'm going to be running for office soon. So you guys may need to vote for me and stuff and all that.
I could tell you another city that might have you back.
Who? Minnesota?
Dallas, Texas.
Oh, yeah, I think I can carry Texas. And they're a little different.
How much responsibility do you take and credit do you take for the Dallas Cowboys dynasty?
None. And even though, you know, people talk about the trade and stuff, and I said, you know, you still got to play. You know, the trade brought in a lot of good players, but you still had to organize them. You still had to get them together. And this is honest truth. When Jim and Jerry traded me, I didn't like them too hot. I was like, these guys are not that smart. But I've said many times, if I own an NFL team, Jimmy Johnson will be one person I want to run my program. And the reason why is Jimmy, doesn't matter if you're a superstar or not, you got to play. When you step on that field, you got to play. I don't care how much money you make. I don't care who you are. This is about you being a football player. You're not an actor. You're not a golfer. You're not a basketball player. You're a football player. So when you step out there, you better play football. And that's what I like about it.
And you've been – I mean, you played for – how long was your career total?
I played 15 years of pro ball, which is a long time.
And then
and the only reason I got out of it, people started calling me Mr. Walker. You know, I was walking through I played against I played with Tony Dorsett, then all of a sudden I'm playing against his son. I was playing against people, then I started playing against the kids. And I would walk into my locker room, and my teammates would say, "Mr. Walker, how you doing today?" Like this. And I'm like, "Crap.
Who are you talking to?"
I get an old, like, "Mr. Walker." So I decided I better get out of football. And that's one reason that I got out of football is I didn't want to be called Mr. Walker no more.
And then you went to like a little lighter sport, MMA.
Yeah, I went to MMA. I saw MMA on television and absolutely loved it. You know, I've been in martial arts for years and absolutely love MMA. And I got to thank Scott Coker because Scott Coker could have taken me and threw me into a cage. You know, I had studied Taekwondo. I was a fifth-degree black belt in Taekwondo. And Scott Coker came and watched me do what they call a matchmaker bout. When I flew into California, and I had to fight five different guys in five different disciplines. And after I'd done that, Scott said, "Well, Herschel, you're pretty good, but if you would submit to going to a great camp, I would get you a fight." And that's when I signed up to go to AKA out in California. And it really took me 11 months. And this is the honest truth. I went to California, and, you know, I own three businesses. I'm the largest minority-owned chicken company, promotion company, and the apparel company in the United States. I had somebody to run my companies. I went to California. I stayed out there for 11 months, ate, slept, did everything MMA for 11 months straight, didn't leave until I was ready, thought I was prepared to go into a cage, and that's when I got a fight.
Can we talk a little bit about you're very, very famous for your training and your eating?
Yes.
And
well, I don't know
whether
I'm famous for my eating, but
I read that you...
A little different.
So yes. Can you talk a little bit about what is your daily schedule now?
Well, you know, right now I'm not fighting, but I'm still training because I work with the military. Right now I got a program called Patriot Support, where I'm at a military base once a month anywhere in the world, where I do PT, jump out of planes, I do whatever they're doing, I'm doing. And we treat soldiers. We treat about 5,000 soldiers a year. But today I would do like 1,500 push-ups, about 3,500 sit-ups, and I jogged about 3 miles this morning. I may get on an exercise bike and do anywhere between 10 to 15 miles and stuff because, you know, I'm on the road. When I'm not on the road, I may work out. Yeah, when I'm not on the road, I may work out a little bit more. And the only reason I do that, and I tell people this, is I do that because you have other guys that are working out hard. They own the weights, they own this, and they're getting prepared. Well, I never know where one day I'm going to have to meet that person. one day that person's going to want to face Herschel Walker because he's been reading all that stuff in the paper that Herschel Walker's this great athlete, and so he want to challenge me. Well, when he stepped forward, I got to be ready. And I said, dude, I'll be your huckleberry. Ain't no big deal here. And that's what I do. You know, my nephews and niece, my son, that growing up, and they've read about dad or read about Uncle Herschel and all this, and they challenge me sometimes. Hey, I beat them. And people are like, why are you beating your nephews and kids? Like, because somebody got they stepped up to the plate. They got to learn to lose. And that's why I said they got to learn this, that you don't just – nothing is given to you. You know, I grew up overweight. I grew up a fat kid stuttering. My mom made me feel good. She told me I was big bone. And all the other kids convinced me that, no, Herschel, you're fat. And I used to have a speech impediment where I was put down, and that's how I overcame. And that's what I tell people, quit making excuses. Everybody got an excuse for everything. You got to get out and you got to work if you want it. And it ain't going to just happen. And you know, you can't just talk about it. Oh, and not getting off. That's like, you know, we talk about Chael Sonnen. I don't know if y'all know who they are. Oh, yeah. Chael Sonnen talk a lot of trash, man. This man can talk. And he fighting Vanderlei Silva. I'm sitting there, if I was Vanderlei, like, I'm going to knock this guy's block off. Well, what's funny about it is you got to get out and you got to do that. And like, you remember Mark Gastineau that used to be here? Yep. Boy, that boy can talk, could he not? Well, it was that offensive tackle got to knock his block off. And if you don't do it, he deserved to talk. And that's what I tell people. If you're going to talk like that, you got to back it up. And it's fine to do it.
We have two of the more prolific trash talkers about to square up in boxing.
Oh, yes.
2 months. Blanking on Mayweather and McGregor. As someone who puts so much time and pride into their training, do you has gone from one combat sport to another, do you think McGregor has any shot? Have you ever met him? Have you ever trained
with him? I love McGregor the way he talks.
Yeah.
But I'm going to give props to Mayweather. People don't give Mayweather the credit he deserves. Mayweather can fight. Everyone out there that been saying Mayweather do all that, whatever they're talking, Mayweather can fight. And I can tell you right now, it's going to be a slap in the face of boxing if Mayweather don't take Conor out early.
Right.
Every minute Conor lasts in that ring,
make him look worse and worse.
It make boxing look terrible. Now, if they were going MMA, and Conor don't take Mayweather out early, it'll make
seconds.
MMA
right,
look
yeah.
bad.
Break his arm.
But right now, Mayweather is a professional boxer. Conor hadn't boxed at all. He do MMA. You know, he may look like he boxing. A boxer and an MMA fighter is totally different.
Oh, yeah.
So it's the biggest fight. And for the American people, because I know Donald Trump, so make America beautiful here. Let's be honest here. And I know pay-per-view going to get pissed off at Herschel, but can I say pissed off?
You sure can.
But anyway,
do it again.
But then this is what we got to do. I think the people got to demand this. If it's going to be a boxing match, and I'm contradicting myself, but I'm not, if we're going to pay money to see this, Conor got to at least go 6 rounds. Otherwise, it's not a boxing match, and they got to box. Because otherwise, it's a joke. But then I'm saying Mayweather got to knock him out because he's a professional boxer. Because this is a professional boxer. Every boxing person out there got to be calling Mayweather and say, make us look good, Holmes.
Right.
Otherwise, it doesn't. And I'm going to put it out there this here. I'm putting this out there to anyone out there that want to pay this. Herschel Walker take any heavyweight in the world for $80 million. I would last 5 rounds with any heavyweight in the world in boxing. 5 rounds. $80 million
That's
on
it?
The table.
Just
I
80?
Would take it. You know, I'd take 100 if they want to give it.
If they want to
take
it, you take it, yeah.
I would take it. $80 million. Now, I just put it out there. And I'm saying, if I don't last 5 rounds, I don't deserve $80 million, do I? Otherwise, it's a joke that I just threw it out there. They're professional boxers, and that's what I'm saying. That's why I just think Mayweather got to take him out early. And I'm just saying it to Mayweather is a professional. I think he's awesome. But if he does that, walking away from Conor, letting Conor hit him, and no, you got to let Conor know what time it is if you're a boxer. And if they're going to do MMA, Conor, you got to do the same thing.
But what do you think about, like, Mayweather is obviously a great boxer, but he's not really known for, like, the powerful punches. And McGregor can take a punch.
Well, you know, taking an MMA punch and a boxing punch is a little bit different.
Yeah.
And the next thing is Mayweather, like you say, he's not that powerful. But let me tell you, he can start tattooing him pretty good where Conor will back in that corner and the referee can stop it. And that's what I'm saying. Mayweather's fast. You know, let's give Mayweather his due. You've seen Mayweather get hit sometime. And he'll come out and fight. I saw Mayweather. And then think about this also. Mayweather was out of boxing for 2 years.
Sounds about right.
He came back. And he didn't go fight some bum on the street that they picked up. He went and fought the champion and made him look bad. And people said, oh, he really didn't fight. He outpointed. Well, this man hadn't fought in 2 years, and he still was faster, quicker, and he still won. And I said, guys, you got to give him credit. That's the art of boxing. That's the art of boxing. You make your opponent look bad. Every opponent he's fought, he made him look bad.
That's the thing, yeah. And going into it, it's Mayweather, he's older. Can he still do it? And then he whoops him, and it's like, yeah, well,
and he
look
good. And I don't, and if Mayweather want to fight me, I'll make it take him out.
Yo, thanks for tuning in, man. Barca Radio, have a great weekend, and we'll see you guys Monday.
Hey, have you heard? Podcast One has a whole bunch of awesome new shows filled with big names that are waiting for you on our brand new, amazing app. This one's a game changer. There's Norman Lear talking to Amy Poehler, Julia Louis-Dreyfus, and Charles Barkley. Geffen Playhouse Unscripted with Bryan Cranston, Josh Gad, and soon, Neil Patrick Harris.
Nice.
OC Real Housewife Heather Dubrow's World. Lady Gang's Three Mimosa Podcast with Leah Michelle, Nelly Furtado, Elle King, and more. Plus, every episode of The Adam Carolla Show, Dan Patrick, and Rich Eisen. And if you like what happens in the ring, we've got Steve Austin, Chris Jericho, Chael Sonnen, and a whole bunch more. So download our one-of-a-kind new app and see for yourself. Go to the App Store, Google Play, or download it now at podcastone.com.